97 FAM LIC1.
Check it out. You know your GED right here. Guaranteed, Ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening, Guy James Show fans. Glad to have you along with us this evening. Coming to you from beautiful Fort Myers, Florida, home of the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches here in the Fort Myers, Naples, Marco Island area, and points north all the way up to Sarasota. So glad to have you along with us this evening. I have to get used to saying this evening instead of this afternoon. You know, for a couple of years, the show was on from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. We hope we've got the message across to everyone that we're now an evening show from 7 to 10. We'll be right here. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Five of them, count them, five toll-free lines to call in. And, of course, if you live in Naples and Collier County, 263-6570. And in Lee County, 479-5540. This is a talk show, and you are expected to do some of the talking. So, glad to have you along with us tonight. I see the weather. Oh, my. The weather across the country is big news, particularly those of you from the Dakotas, clear across the Midwest, going up east. I've noticed some of our friends on the internet, on democraticunderground.com, particularly the New York Bureau, is reporting it's snowing a bunch with heavy winds. Jeff is saying he's holed up there and is not leaving his apartment until Monday, and I don't blame you. I got to tell you, folks, I feel bad for you. I really do. If you live up north and live in that mess, talked to my brother, yesterday, up in Ohio. You know they had their power out for a week because of an ice storm, And it's just been snow, and more snow. And I think they got 3 or 4 inches yesterday, and they were expecting 8 to 10 today with 40-mile-an-hour winds. Oh, my, what fun. I do not miss that living here in the South. I most certainly do not. You know, it's odd. Just take a moment to talk about it. I know a lot of you don't care about the weather, but the weather living here in Southwest Florida is never an issue, unless there's a hurricane coming. Now, I will put a caveat on that. If there's a hurricane coming, we watch the weather pretty closely. Otherwise, I think most of the people around here never watch the weather forecast because it's just nice every single day, almost, with the exception of tomorrow night. It's going to be cold tomorrow night. Ron, our producer, sitting there tonight. Ron, did you know it was going to be cold? He did. He knew it was going to be cold tomorrow night. It's actually going to get down into the 30s. And believe me, folks, here in Southwest Florida, that'll send some people running for the stores to get some heavy coats if there are any available, believe me. So we're suffering with you. We're suffering with you. It'll probably only get up into the high 60s during the day. And, oh, my God, how will we stand that? But the sun will be shining. And really, we do have empathy for you up there. You know, it brings back memories when you talk about cold weather and snow like that. My wife and I just celebrated our 11th anniversary last week. And we were reminiscing about it. The day we got married, it was 23 degrees below zero where we lived in Ohio. That was an all-time record. And what did we do? Did we hop on a plane and go to Florida for a honeymoon or the Caribbean or Barbados or somewhere like that? No. We drove our car up the ice-covered roads to Toronto. Yes, actually went north from 23 below zero. Went up there and saw Phantom of the Opera, and I got to say, it was well worth the trip. Wonderful show. By the way, that show's going to be on here in Fort Myers coming up very soon, and we're planning on going to see that. Hey, what a week it was. If we were Republicans, we'd probably be sleeping tonight, sleeping it off after 4 days of, 4 days of just gross excess. I mean, they went nuts, didn't they? They had something every night. They were drinking and dancing and going crazy all week long, and we had a few protesters there. By we, I mean we leftists. We had a few people protesting there. Actually, some of them got pepper sprayed and all that sort of thing. But, what'd you think? I'd like to hear what you had to think. Even you Republicans. I've heard from some Republicans that were just a bit miffed about the money they spent on that whole sordid affair. Do you think we even ought to have a great big huge inauguration or coronation or whatever you want to call it? Do you think we ought to even have that for a second term? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And I can't defend it no matter who's the president. Clinton, in his second term, he had a great big affair, although they didn't spend this kind of money, and we were not at war. So, even if you're a Republican, I'd like to hear from you, hear what you think about that. I know a lot of people who wouldn't admit that George Bush was wrong on anything in the world, but I have heard a few people complain about this one. So, but it was an interesting week. As many of you know, I've been a student of history and a political all my adult life, and I've had a great interest in history and politics ever since I was a little kid, thanks to my dad's constant encouragement. You know, when I was a kid, we'd go on vacation, and my dad would make a study about where it was we were going, so we'd know all about it before we got there. And of course, he had a keen interest in politics, and it rubbed off on me. And for me, it was like a duck taken to water. It really was. And I've always found politics and the history associated with it to be, well, frankly, just absolutely fascinating. How else could a person form honest, informed opinions about the political process and its figureheads? And you know, when I think back, like so many of you, not you younger ones, I'm graybeard here, I remember Harry Truman. I remember the I Like Ike campaign. That was the first real media blitz of advertising. I Like Ike. I remember that so well. Adlai Stevenson, one of the more brilliant men to ever run for the office and not get it. Estes Kefauver, Nelson Rockefeller. Of course, Tricky Dick Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, Kennedy, Humphrey, McGovern, Sergeant Shriver. Thomas Eagleton. There's one for you. How many of you remember Thomas Eagleton? And Henry Cabot Lodge and Gerald Ford and all the rest of them in my lifetime. Always watched all of the conventions and had a keen interest in it. And I've admired some of those folks greatly, and I've loathed some of them as well. But never, and I really mean this, never have I had the feelings I'm now experiencing concerning George. I'm starting to call him George Nero Bush, because Bush is fiddling while America burns down, as far as I'm concerned. My feelings about Bush really came to a crescendo this past Thursday, as I saw Bush walking down the parade route in a scene, to me anyway, that was all too reminiscent of the many banana republics I've seen over the years. And, you know, here he was with, my God, how many security people surrounding him, limo in front, limo in back. Why is it the President of the United States, particularly this one, needs that kind of security amongst friends? You know, I had many thoughts, but the one image I just can't shake, and I thought about it so much, and I know some of you had too, I've seen discussions on it, is the image of Bush Rock walking triumphantly down Pennsylvania Avenue, grinning and strutting and waving to his fans, in a city, mind you, where only 9% of the population voted for him. So that lets you know that everybody was at their parade was imported from someplace else, but 9%. Voted for him, and he was waving to those who paid frankly, a princely sum for the best seats in the bleachers. He was protected by thousands of security police, even including the military. The same military seemed to forget about during his Texas-style braggadocio, world-threatening, I'm king of the world and don't you forget it speech. I was sick at heart that this man and his minions had fooled the American public into keeping him in the White House after what most certainly has been one of the most failed administrations in history. You know, so many people voted for Bush because they said he had kept them safe. He had kept them safe. You know, our country is probably in more danger right now than at any time since, at any time in history, but for the possible exception of the Civil War. And this man and his fancy millionaire friends are partying like nothing is wrong at all. You know, out partying like there is no horrible war going on in Iraq. Partying like there hasn't been 1,400 or so soldiers killed. Thousands more horribly maimed for life. Perhaps 100,000 innocent Iraqis killed. Party on, George. You know, a man who ridiculed nation building only 4.5 years ago. He gives a speech telling the world that we, the United States of America, will set forth upon a path in which we will decide who needs democracy and then pulverize another country for our own gain. Or should I say, for the gain of the Bush's warmongering fat cat friends. Yes, sir, Uncle Sam will take a look, you know, they'll look at each and every country and make a decision as to whether or not democratizing them is in our best interest or not. We're going to make every last country on earth a democracy, whether they want it or not, and if they don't, we'll kill them. That's the way it's working out so far. You know, was I totally asleep or did I miss where he talked about the Iraq War and his totally disjointed speech that sounded like it was written at a roundtable discussion at the latest PNAC meeting? Truly, did this war president, as he's so fond of calling himself, did he totally forget to mention one of the greatest failures and tragedies any administration has ever suffered? 150,000 military personnel in Iraq right now eating Halliburton's gourmet meals, being shot at daily, blown up, riding around in Humvees without armor because the Pentagon was so damned anxious to put a toothless, nearly harmless, totally contained penny-ante dictator out of business. 150,000 of our finest young people are at war because this man put them there, and he doesn't mention the Iraq War in his inauguration speech. Could it be because he's ashamed of what he's done? I doubt it, because I don't think the Bush family knows what shame is. Although they should know far more about it than the average family, because with all the Bush family scandals, if they had a normal conscience like the rest of us, they would be ashamed to show their faces in public. But then again, conscience is not a word in the Bush dictionary. But here's Georgie Bush pretending like nothing is wrong. The American people are out of work. The people whose jobs have been shipped overseas forever. The elderly who can't afford prescription medicine. The children being left behind by his idiotic, underfunded, no child left behind scheme. The millions of people in the richest country in the world not having even a shred of decent health care because of not being able to afford the fat insurance company's premiums. Here he is behaving like nothing in the world matters except for his oversized, gigantic, humongous ego. I'm the king of the world. I'm George W. Bush, and the voters have given me a huge mandate by a 51-48 margin. I can do anything I want, and I'm going to do it where I want, when I want, to whom I want. Yes, sir. I'm George W. Bush. George W. Bush, the ultimate cowboy. How'd you like to be a soldier in Iraq right now, watching this obscene excess of that inaugural, and realize that your commander-in-chief has no real respect for you at all, didn't even mention you? Didn't even mention you in his inaugural speech. How'd you like to be lying in a hospital bed in Walter Reed Army Hospital, minus a couple of limbs, and see this wretched display of over-the-top ego-feeding frenzy of Bush's? How would you like to see that? People paying $250,000 for the privilege of getting to shake Bush's hand or get a picture taken with him. People with enough money to get Georgie's attention, but you... You, the forgotten soldiers with no arms or legs, having to beg to get a long-distance phone call card so you can call your family you haven't seen for months because of being sent to that hellhole that Bush created. I'm ashamed of George W. Bush. I'm ashamed of his entire administration, and I'm damned ashamed of the Democrats who helped him realize his dream of getting even with Saddam because of his daddy's unfinished business. I will never forgive the Democrats that voted with him on this. Never. Oh, yeah. Bush was fiddling at all those inaugural balls, but America is burning, and half of us just don't give a damn. It's sick, people. It's really, really sick. The more I watched it, the sicker I got. Had to turn it off from time to time. And I wonder sometimes, is there something wrong with me? I watched the folks on PBS talking about Bush's speech. What an insulting speech to the rest of the world. This was a foreign policy speech. It wasn't an inauguration speech. It was George W. Bush standing there telling everybody, I'm going to do what I want, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. That's what it was. A foreign policy speech. My. So I watched PBS, and they thought it was a lousy speech, and I watched... I watched some folks out of WGN on Chicago for a while, and they thought it was a lousy speech. And I watched here, and I watched there, and they thought it was a lousy speech. And then I switched over to CBS, the so-called mainstream liberal media. And there was Georgie Trader Stephanopoulos standing there saying what a momentous occasion this was and what an unforgettable speech it was that George Bush had just given. George Stephanopoulos, what the hell is the matter with you? How could you say that? Even Peggy Noonan, the ultimate speechwriter for the right wing, she thought this speech was terrible. I'm going to tell you something. When the right-wing all-time speechwriter for Reagan and, the one that wrote those words, I can't even bring them to mind now, but she did. She wrote some good stuff. Can't stand the woman, but she did write some good stuff for Ronald Reagan, and he was great at delivering it. But when she starts cutting down the speech of George Bush, you know it's bad. You know it's really bad. And she just, kiss up to Bush all the time. I couldn't believe that she went this far with it. Hey, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 263-6570 here in, down in Collier County, and 479-5540 in Lee County. We're going to pause for a break. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
The Guy James Show.
If you're like most people, you've got a calendar to help you stay organized, or a day planner, or some PDA you're still figuring out how to use. And it helps keep track of the anniversaries and birthdays that our overworked brains can't remember. That way we know exactly when things will happen and how long we can put off making arrangements for them. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendar because we don't know when they'll happen, if at all. Like some sort of household emergency, or a disaster, or even a fire. But when it does, the time to prepare for it has already passed. So get together with your family today and prepare for the unexpected by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. That way you'll all know exactly what to do in the event of an emergency. Where to go, who to call, how to help each other. But do it today, so you won't get caught by surprise tomorrow. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how to make your family disaster plan, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi, you can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
You are tuned to the EIB Network and Rush Limbaugh, where we feature hard assessments, honest assessments, and tough love. You see, I think that if the things that have happened to me have indeed happened, they can happen for anybody. It's a trait of conservatism. Conservatism says, hey man, I love you, and I've done it, and you can do it too. Liberalism is the other way around. You can't do it, you're hopelessly inept, you're incompetent, you're a boob, and you can't go anywhere without our help.
Get your midday rush on Wing WNOG, weekdays at noon.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, I remember those immortal words by Joseph McCarthy. Well, himself, not by Joseph McCarthy, directed toward Joseph McCarthy. Have you no shame, sir? At long last, have you no shame? Well, if old James Dobson, you know, the leader of the Focus on the Family, if he were here in the studio right now, I'd give him those words. Did you hear what Dobson did this week? You know, it's been 5 years since Jerry Falwell threw down the gauntlet and demanded that Tinky Winky stop damaging the moral lives of children. But now they've sunk to a new low. And this really does bring a tear to my eye. It really does. As they've accused SpongeBob SquarePants of being gay. Now, you know, SpongeBob, I don't care if he's gay or not. I love SpongeBob just as much. If he's gay, if he's black or white or yellow or green, it doesn't make any difference. How could you attack SpongeBob SquarePants? You know, that shows the desperation. The guy that makes that particular outfit, he said those critics need medication, and I would certainly say so. Mr. James Dobson, you idiot. Poor SpongeBob. I mean, come on. Come on. He's defenseless. He's a sponge, for God's sake. He can hurt anybody. I guess it's not good enough to impeach Bill Clinton. It's not good enough to talk about Teresa Hines Carey in such a disparaging manner. It's not good enough to accuse John Kerry of being a traitor. It's none of that's good enough. They've got to attack SpongeBob. I can't forgive him for that. I'll never forgive him for that. Never. Let's go to the phones. We're going to talk to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good morning. You've covered so much stuff, I tell you. But look, Dobson, this is a drawing on a piece of paper. How can it be gay?
Well,
and aren't you worried about the hundreds of thousands of people our president and our country have killed in Iraq?
Well, you know, I say, so what? Some of the greatest people I know are gay. Is that supposed to be something disparaging against SpongeBob? Come on.
And you know, I know a lot of gay people myself, and other people that don't like gays also know them, and they don't know that these people are gay, and I can't imagine how ballistic they would go if they ever found out. It's so stupid, especially when we have a president ruining this country. Isn't that more important? Shouldn't they be focusing on an illegal war that we've gone to? Yeah, all these congressmen voted to give him some power to do something, but it certainly wasn't to do this. And I don't like it. It's not what my country is about. We never have gone and fought unless it was to defend somebody or save a country from an aggressor. Now we've turned into an aggressor, and we've turned into what we say our enemy is. You look at the tortures that went on and all this stuff, and I know it goes on both sides and so forth, but this country over the years has talked about human rights and all this great stuff, and we're throwing it all away here. This guy that we've elected and his cohorts are just ruining it. I'm happy with the way this world is. I think governments should mind their own business. If you want to buy something from a country that the government isn't the way you like it, you don't have to buy it. You can trade with them. You don't need to trade with them. But quit tinkering around like this. When I saw this man and heard this speech that he gave, I thought, you know, this guy gets up in the morning, he puts on a Superman suit, looks in the mirror, and thinks he can do all these great things. He can't. He didn't even have money for the collection plate.
Oh, now, yeah, I heard that.
I saw that. Leno played it. I've got it on tape. I love it. It's just, where's this man at? And the Republicans just keep standing up for him. Now, I heard a couple things on the radio this week. One was the Ima show that I don't listen to any of these things regularly. I just happened to pop in on it, and he was interviewing Vice President Cheney and his wife. And part of the interview, I must ask him about, you know, Iran, because there's a lot of talk now that, oh, they're dealing with the nuclear weapons, and we've got to stop them before they do something bad. And so Cheney gave his stock answer of some sorts, and then he says, well, we don't want to have a war in the Middle East. And, of course, what just flashed in your mind? And it flashed in my mind that quick. We're there with a war in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And then I must ask him, or commented quickly on some So this administration doesn't even know what the hell it's doing. Well, I thought, you know, this is interesting. Let me listen on this a little more. He interviewed some newsman. I have no idea who the guy was. But then they were assessing what the president was going to say and what would the speech be and who would it be directed at. And this commentator says, well, he's going to give a speech to the country and to the world. He's president of the country and president of the world. So here's the media already making this man president of the world, which I'm not ready for.
Oh, I don't think anybody is.
You know, I just can't bring myself to that. And, of course, I also heard Gingrich. Maybe Gingrich was on the day before that. And I just happened to look into these things because I listened to three different stations in the morning. But Gingrich is pushing his book, and he made a comment that we're going to be involved in the Middle East for the next 30 to 70 years.
That's nice.
And I'm assuming that means we're going to be at war. Because I do know that since 1918, we have been involved in the Middle East to one degree or another, not stationing a lot of people there, but we're more involved now than we've ever been. But I don't know quite what the man was getting at, whether we're going to be sending troops over there and we're going to be involved for 30 to 70 years. But I don't think the American people have the stamina for that.
You know, John, the sad part is... He doesn't really have to mean anything, because whatever he says, they'll buy. They'll buy it hook, line, and sinker. They have so far.
Oh yeah, and then this was, I remember, this was a local interview on 1240. And then, of course, they asked him if he's going to run for president, which they ask all these guys. Of course, he just slapped that off. But, you know, if he ever runs for president, that's going to be a sad day for this guy.
Oh, man, if that guy ever runs for president, I think I'm out of here.
Now,
I don't think I could handle it.
Yeah, before I go, I like to do things to reduce things to their simplicity. And generally, I go to the dictionary, and I've written down all the forms of government: republic, democracy, fascism, monarchy, communism, socialism, theocracy, and looked up the definitions in a simple pocket dictionary, and then I go to a dictionary that's more extensive. And when you look at the definition for democracy, why would you want to create a democracy anywhere? We don't have it here. We are supposed to have a republic. But look up the definition for democracy, and it says government in which the people hold supreme power. I don't think these guys know what they're trying to create.
Not anymore.
Absolutely not.
So, John, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from you. Oh, yeah. You know, the interview with Cheney, I heard part of that. And I think, you know, if we're going to be... First of all, Cheney didn't know we were at war in the Middle East. I guess nobody told him that. I really thought Dick Cheney was smarter than that. Having worked for Halliburton, I know damn well had a lot of business dealings in the Middle East, but, you know, here we are, boys and girls, at war in the Middle East against old poor old Saddam, nasty boy that he was. Don't forget, he gassed the Kurds. They always told me he gassed the Kurds. I think I asked this question on the show a couple of weeks ago. You know who the first person to gas the Kurds were? Huh? Anybody know? Raise your hand. The first person to okay gassing the Kurds was, drum roll please, Winston Churchill. So there you go, a little history lesson. He didn't mind throwing a little mustard gas their way, but he didn't demonize old Winnie that much, but I guess that's a different time. Anyway, that's a little history lesson for you there. I thought the speech was bordered on the absurd. I watched him up there, and I thought, my God, this guy, he believes what he's saying. That's the scary part, but, you know... What I was getting to there, if we're going to be at war in the Middle East, and I'm not any guy that's for war, but I do believe in, I believe in an eye for an eye. I do. I always have. And certainly not one I don't like war at all, and I think it ought to be the very last resort. But if we're going to be at war in the Middle East, why aren't we at war in the Middle East where we ought to be at war in the Middle East? What was it? 19 of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. We pretend Bush gives this eloquent, flowery speech about freedom and everything for everybody. How free are the people of Saudi Arabia? How free are they? And has he uttered a word against the government in Saudi Arabia? No. They're terribly repressive, And, you know, they still do the old chopping off of hands and so forth. But they're a repressive, dictatorial regime. And George Bush hasn't said a word about it. And then he got the guts to get up and give this speech about freedom and liberty and his good friends. And make no mistake about it, boys and girls, his good friends are the likes of Prince Bandar and those folks who employed his daddy and the Carlyle Group and James Baker and all that. They're tight, you understand, with the Saudi royal family. I know they'd love to lie themselves out of that, but it's the truth. They know it. We know it. Everybody knows they're tight with the Saudi royal family, one of the most repressive regimes in the world. And how about our friends the Chinese? You talk about human rights? Bush get up giving a speech about freedom and liberty? How about those folks? Have we said anything to the Chinese lately? I don't think so. So, knowing that, and how about General Musharraf in Pakistan, the dictator? The dictator whom we've looked the opposite way. He promised the United States government that he'd step down from the military if he's elected president again. He didn't do it. He's a dictator running the military over there, another repressive regime. Did Bush say anything about it? No. But yet, he gets up and extols freedom and liberty around the world. Except for Saudi Arabia, and except for China, and except for Pakistan, and a half a dozen other places around the world. George, you made no sense in that idiotic speech of yours. Let's go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Hi, what got me is right after their water hosing and gassing our own people that speak out against George Bush, our leader, having, you know, their constitutional rights just thrown out the door. Then he stands and gives a speech about how the rest of the world should be free. You know, where's the sense in all this?
Yeah.
The only thing I can equate to what his speech was about, I can remember back when Adolf Hitler stood there in Munich, Germany, and the crowd roared at the perfect society that he was going to bring in. Believe me, George Bush is not the perfect person that I want to be. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like his family. I don't want to be like the people that he does business with. You know, and so I guess that's going to put me, generally down the road, I'll probably end up being killed because that's what's coming about, people. You better wake up.
Yeah, those fundies will get you. They're coming after you, Diane.
It's terrible. I believe it.
Yeah, some of these days...
I'm not taking anything of this for granted.
Nope.
And I think that anybody that underestimates that it can't happen in this society, just listen to your daytime people that call into these Rush Limbaugh shows and tell me that it can't happen and isn't happening in America.
Absolutely right. I agree. Thank you for your call, Diane.
Bye-bye.
I was amazed by that speech that he had to get guts to get up and give a talk like that. Here we have our freedoms going south on us here in this country. And he's get up and preaching freedom and liberty. You know, his idea of freedom and liberty are far different than my idea of freedom and liberty. His idea of freedom and liberty is having him stand up in the balcony of the White House with thousands of flags out and a million people with torches standing outside in the mall in Washington, D.C. That's his idea of freedom. He given the speech, the freedom speech. Oh, my God. I wonder if that's what they'll call it, the freedom and liberty speech. Do you suppose that 40 years from now, you know, like 40 years ago, we're hearing, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Remember those immortal words. Will these lousy words of Bush, will we be listening to that 40 years from now going, wow, what a speech? I don't think so. Hey, the exalted New York girl is on the line. Yes. Hey, call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04, 479-5540 in Lee County, 263-6057 in Collier County. The trumpets, please. The New York Bureau. Hiya, Jeff. Uh-oh. I hear a dial tone.
Hello?
Hiya, Jeff. How are you?
You got me?
Yes, I do.
Okay, must have been the snow.
You're
we are approaching full blizzard conditions here.
How nice.
Oh, it's just lovely. I hunkered down till Monday.
What do you like? Put pork and beans in, and what do you pack away for a blizzard there?
Coffee and scotch and baked beans. Campbell's tomato soup.
Soup. All right. Yeah, the studio audience knew you were going to come up with soup there.
Gotta have it. Anyway, well, continuing on the coronation. What struck me was that I think we've known it for some time, but not so much all Republicans, because like people like Peggy Noonan are going, oh my God, what have we got here? But the Bush Republicans are completely irony free. They simply, they'll get up there and say America is safer than it's ever been before, and yet Washington was 6,000 cops and military and snipers and the entire parade route shoulder to shoulder with policemen, and we're safer?
Well,
it didn't look that way to me.
Irony free is, Jeff, that I think that's a moniker. We need to have some bumper stickers made.
But here's the one I get, going back to the actual text of the speech that I just went, you don't get it. He says here, quote, all who live in tyranny and hopelessness can know. The United States will not ignore your oppression or excuse your oppressors. Did anyone in Iraq happen to hear that?
I hope not.
Because, it's like, if there's, in terms of the tyrants of the world today, Mr. Bush has got to be pretty high on the list.
According to that poll I saw from around the world, he is high on the list.
I mean, you just go, But, they just say it. Because, mostly because the mainstream media is not going to go, that's an absolute lie. Last night, I finally got a chance to watch the DVD, Uncovered the War in Iraq. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
It's mostly talking heads, people like your friend Ray McGovern and Scott Ritter and just all these amazing people. And, they're talking about all the lies leading up to the Iraq War. But what's really stunning about it is not the talking heads of the CIA operatives and all that. It's the actual archival footage of Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice, talking about their mushroom clouds and the absolutely and the 500 tons. And it's like, can you do like that 1984 thing and force Republicans to sit with their eyes, held open by toothpicks or something to watch? not my opinion. Not Janine Garofalo and not Michael Moore. Don't listen to us at all. Just sit down and listen to your own people's words.
Exactly.
Listen to this for half an hour. Listen to their absolute quotes. They're telling you mushroom clouds, and he has the bombs, and he has the weapons, and he's going to use them. And now it's about freedom.
Well, here we have a lady about to become, and I lose, well, I'm not going to say it. We've got a person about to become Secretary of State. In my mind, the second most important office in this United States. A quote from her, and I quote Condoleezza Rice, 9/28/2003. No one has said that there's evidence that Saddam Hussein directed or controlled 9/11, but let's be very clear. He had ties to al-Qaeda. He had al-Qaeda operatives who had operated out of Baghdad. In fact, the CIA interrogators have already enlisted from the top al-Qaeda officials in custody that before the American-led invasion, Osama bin Laden had rejected entreaties with some of the lieutenants to work jointly with Saddam. It had nothing to do with it. Over and over and over again, just like you said, one fat lie after another. And that's all. You're right, Jeff. Feed them their own words back.
Now here's another thing, too, about Rice, who may have been a marvelous provost for a university.
Yeah.
She may have been a marvelous oil company executive, but she's moving into the most important diplomatic job on earth.
Absolutely.
Can you tell me what her resume about for diplomacy is? Is there even 5 minutes of experience in international diplomacy on her resume?
No, sir.
I don't think so.
No.
And somehow I watched her hearings. It didn't cut. No, Joe Biden didn't say, Ms. Rice, what? Give us your background in international diplomacy.
Yeah.
In which case her head would have shaken. 9/11. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, it's scary. It truly is. I ran across an article this week that had like 10 pages of her quotes about how this war was, justified and so forth. One thing after another, quotes, and how they all turned out to be just fantastic lies. And
so if you get a chance to look, check out the DVD Uncover the War in Iraq, it won't be much new information for you, but it's very well packaged, and it's like, you know, as they so want you to do, they do not want you to remember what was said even last week.
Absolutely.
Because they had to change the message again.
Yeah.
But it's right, it's just there in archival clips of these liars. I'd be very interested to see what kind of it's like, not on a grilling, but when the Democratic senators speak on Tuesday, Byrd, Boxer, and Kennedy, and a bunch of other, it's like, The inevitability of her being confirmed, apparently, that it doesn't matter if she's going to utterly suck the job. We have to pass her because Bush wants her.
That's right.
But it'll be interesting to see, what kind of stones our Democrats show on Tuesday. I'm especially looking forward to hearing Byrd, because Byrd will say anything.
Well, part of the irony of that situation is the Democrats are going to play nice. Most of them, they'll play nice and vote for her because they say the president should have whom he wants in that job. Just wait till the Democrats get back in office and put someone controversial up. Let's see if the Republicans think the president ought to have who he wants for that job.
Oh, yes. The Republicans have been screaming once again about partisanship because the Democrats wanted to talk for 2 hours about voting rights. As if we've all forgotten that they spent, 36 hours whining about 10 judicial nominations?
Well, and look how they are screaming and whining about the election up in Washington State. You know, the get-over-it thing. You know, get-over-it commitment. But they feel that they've been screwed out in an election up in Washington State.
And they want a revote.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I think one thing that Rove managed to do, it's very early on with this Republican, team, whatever, is that irony was just excised. Just say anything, it means you have no past.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, I hope you have enough stores in for the storm. Plenty of scotch, plenty of coffee, plenty of baked beans.
Trust me, I saw the reports when they were only saying 10 to 15. They're now saying 24 to 30 inches.
Oh.
So I was ready quite early yesterday afternoon, and like I said, I'm fine until Monday.
Now, is it the same way in New York as it is here for a hurricane? The stores, right away when there's a hurricane announced around here, man, they clean out the grocery stores of everything.
I didn't notice anything on Friday. I was talking to my composing partner, and he said the supermarket closest to him was just packed this afternoon when it was just starting. So I don't know.
Well,
I think New Yorkers, that's a rule, are like, oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, you're New Yorkers after all. None of this bothers you.
No.
Hey, Jeff.
Have a great show. I will pop back on and keep listening.
Weather the storm, my friend.
I shall.
Okay.
Good night. Wow.
Oh, yeah. What do you say, 24 to 30 inches of snow? Yikes. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. Hang on if you're on the phone. 888-602-7500-7501-02-03 and 04, 479-5540 here in Lee County, and then call your 263-6570. Call us. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back after this break.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida.
America's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Family fun and adventure in America's great outdoors is calling you to the 20th annual Fort Myers RV Show.
This weekend, Lee Civic Center.
It's the largest RV show in South Florida with over 1,000 URVs on display. Gas and diesel motorhomes, van campers, travel trailers, fifth wheels, tent campers, park models, camping supplies, even financing.
Visit over 90 vendors
with everything from hard-to-find outdoor camping supplies, RV insurance, RV aftermarket upgrades, and special information on RV resort campgrounds from throughout the nation. Take a lucky spin on our jackpot prize machine to win one of dozens of special prizes and discounts. Who knows? You may even win a new Jeep. Tickets only $7. Half off Thursday.
Children 16 and under, free.
Show hours 10 to 5 Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Sunday, 10 to 4. Free parking from I-75. Take exit 143 East 5 miles. It's all this weekend at the 20th annual Fort Myers RV Show, Lee Civic Center. Don't miss out.
Sponsored by the Florida RV Trade Association.
Giveaway based on chance. Other giveaway guaranteed. One machine per person. Must be 18 with valid driver's license. No purchase necessary. Ticket entries, rules and regulations at participating RV dealers.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With TrueView, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
TrueView's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Let's you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. TrueView, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive sky-high traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Life is better with a boat. And boats are better at Southwest Florida's number one marine retailer, Boats Unlimited. Right now, only Boats Unlimited has double the factory rebates on hundreds of new boats. Double the factory rebates on hurricane deck boats, sweetwater pontoon boats, and polar fishing boats, all powered by Yamaha. $1,000 rebates become $2,000. $3,000 rebates become $6,000. Only at Boats Unlimited. Right now, the Hurricane 196 Fun Deck with a Yamaha 90 horsepower four-stroke is only $18,995. And it's under $200 a month. $18,995. Under $200 a month. Hurricane deck boats, sweetwater pontoon boats, and polar fishing boats, all powered by Yamaha. All on sale with double the factory rebate. Only at Southwest Florida's number one marine retailer, Boats Unlimited, with two great locations at Del Prado and Southeast 46th Street, Cape Coral, and on Tamiami Trail, Charlotte Harbor. Life is better with a boat.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew somebody out there. I knew somebody out there would call and have the integrity to stand up for SpongeBob SquarePants. Bill, are you with us?
Yes, Guy. I thought you were making it up, but then I remembered that it actually is true that Dr. Dobson's on the warpath against SpongeBob.
Well, it breaks my heart. It really does.
Well, I happened to be watching C-SPAN the other day, and they had the guy, the actual creator of SpongeBob was on the air to defend himself. And, of course, C-SPAN invited Dr. Dobson to at least be there by phone, and he declined to come on.
Oh.
And according to the creator of the SpongeBob, he said that there's another website out there very similar to SpongeBob that is very pro-gay rights, and that's why the focus on the family people are all in a warpath.
I see.
And the Dr. Dobson has been informed of that mistake, but has chosen to ignore it because, you know, it's like science. Science has to be politicized. Truth has to be politicized. And these people are God's soldiers, and they do what they want. They don't care about what's true, and they don't care about the Ten Commandments.
No, it's only truth. They say it's true.
That's right.
And it's only in the Bible. It only, you know, however they interpret it, that's the only meaning you can get out of anything in the Bible.
Well, I never had too much of a high opinion of Dr. Dobson, but this really proves that if he's going to do this, this is just I'll be on the fail completely.
Well, come on. You know, next thing you know, they'll be going after Captain Kangaroo, the late Captain Kangaroo.
Right. And who knew Popeye might not be safe?
Mr. Green Jeans. I mean...
You know, we're aging ourselves because the young people don't know who those are.
No, Oh, you're right.
On an unrelated
topic. Hey, Bill, do you remember Pinky Lee?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
On an unrelated topic, you know, this Bush administration is so anti-labor and so pro-business, and I haven't seen this anywhere, but I was thinking, how long is it going to be? You know, by law now, if you buy any product, it has to say nation of origin. It has to say Mexico or China or Russia, whatever it is. How long is it going to be before that just disappears and the Bush people will hope that nobody will even notice it? What do you think, guys?
Oh, it's inevitable, Bill. It is.
It's a no-brainer. It's
sure.
Just a matter of time on that. On this, I heard Pat Buchanan this week talking about the war on Iraq. And Pat Buchanan, who a lot of people don't like and don't agree with, but he is an author of many, many books, and he's basically a walking world history book himself.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that this administration, the Bush administration, as far as the Iraq war goes, is looking for the off-ramp. And that tells me that the administration is finally aware that the American people are waking up to the billions of dollars and the young people that have been killed and crippled for what President Reagan would call a two-bit dictator. And the American people are waking up, and if they don't get out and get out fast, this administration is going to pay a terrible price for this.
Oh, yeah, this administration and the candidate, the Republican candidate for the next one.
The Congress is scared to death. And I think they keep going after Social Security to get our minds off of Iraq. But people do care about Social Security. But when it comes to our young people being in harm's way, that is the only issue on my mind right now.
Well, have you noticed how good, they talk about the elite liberal media and the mainstream media. And all. Have you noticed how good they are at manipulating the media? We had the story broke about Armstrong Williams a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Bang, zoom, it was a big story. What was on the pages the next day or so? Dan Rather.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Rather, that's all they could talk about. Forget that Armstrong Williams took the old payola, as we used to say, and dating myself once again. The old payola to say what they wanted him to say, what Secretary Rod Page wanted him to say about the No Child Left Behind Act. Forget that. Let's talk about Dan Rather. Look over here.
With Armstrong Williams, you can't say media whore on the radio, but that's basically what we're dealing with here.
Well, it's nothing but a three-card Monty. It's nothing but a shell game. I mean, that's what they play.
And also, I want to say, I'm beginning to wonder what's going on in the scrambled pop-pop fizz-fizz mind of Rush Limbaugh. I'm directing this at the supporters of Limbaugh. Do you realize what a poor opinion that the American military has of him? Because they know, first of all, he's a draft dodger. That's public knowledge. The biggest friend the military ever had was President Reagan, and Rush Limbaugh was too lazy to even vote for the Gipper. He was too lazy to vote for anybody. But they don't hold that against him. But they won't let him on Armed Forces Radio because, let's say you're a military brass, and you got people working for you that are going to be wounded and are going to be killed, and they're not going to let Rush Limbaugh come on the air and say that the only Americans are Republican conservatives and that Democrats are not really Americans. I tell you, the military brass, they don't like that, and they don't like Rush Limbaugh, and they keep him away from our soldiers while they're in danger.
Well, he's a guy that ought to be kept away from.
I agree.
Bill, thanks for your
call. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Good to hear from you. Rush Limbaugh. I see he went to court again this week. Him and his attorney, Roy Black, a man that all the conservatives have railed against over the years because Roy defended the Kennedy kid and all that. He was such a no good son of a gun then. But now that he's defending Rush Limbaugh, yes. You know, somebody sent me an email this week that said that I'm constantly talking about Rush Limbaugh and his drug records and so forth. That won't get the Democrats any votes. I never intended for it to get any votes. Just wanted to tell the people the truth. For all those who are disciples of Rush Limbaugh, I don't expect that to get any votes for Democrats. For everybody that defends Rush Limbaugh, I just want you to know what he is. Who he is, what he is, how he acts, and what a two-faced liar he is. You know, you remember all those times he said they ought to gas everybody that was, drug addicts and all that sort of thing. You can't back away from that, Rush. You said it. It's out there. Those are your real feelings. So, you know, I get Democrats votes for cutting down Rush Limbaugh? Hell no. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just wanting you to know that anything that comes out of his mouth, anything that comes out of Armstrong Williams' mouth, anything that comes out of Hannity's mouth or the sexual deviant pervert Bill O'Reilly, that now you have to look upon them with suspicion anything they say because they might have gotten a big fat check from the White House the day before. If Armstrong Williams got caught doing that, how many more are there? How many more are there? You know, they can't say there's a whole lot of Democrat liberal broadcasters doing that because we're an endangered species, you see. I know they tried to, they tried to accuse Ed Schultz, who's on the Jones Broadcasting Network. He's not on around here, but he's a liberal broadcaster, and he's syndicated nationally on a few stations anyway. But they tried to, they came back and said, what about Ed Schultz? The DNC's paying for him. Au contraire, that is not true. Absolutely not true. They got investors together, an outfit called Democracy Radio got together, got some investors together, and paid, put up the money to put that show on the air. DNC, nothing to do with it, folks. It's a fat lie. And I will tell you that I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. This is not not conjecture on my part. This is not secondhand knowledge. I know that for a fact. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Hey, 888-602-7500, 7502-03 and 04. We're going to stop for news at the top of the hour, and I expect you will be there when we get back. You're listening to 1200, 1240 a.m., 1270 a.m., Wink WNOG, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, and we'll be back after the news.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. Stand back. Snowplow coming through in Chicago. Welcome sight with more than a foot of snow to clear there. You could do it yourself if you had access to a snowblower.
Even if the snow were to stop and the wind were to stop blowing, we'd still be busy for a while. But people should drive with caution in these conditions. When you get the wind whipping snow around, as we saw on Lakeshore Drive, it does impair visibility at times.
They've got their hands full, says Matt Smith with the Chicago Sanitation Department, as those workers try to keep the streets in halfway decent shape. Flight cancellations, hundreds of them at Chicago's O'Hare and Midway airports. From 12 to 24 inches of snow could fall from this winter storm in parts of the Northeast. New York City has just declared a snow emergency. CBS News meteorologist George Cullen, what to expect in the next day?
It's going to be just blustery and extremely cold in the Northeast. Wind chill factors are going to be below zero everywhere in the Northeast. And heavy snow will be out of the New York area, but it'll still be snowing very hard across New England.
In Philadelphia, the airport is shut down. KYW's Tony Hansen went out to check conditions overall.
Heavy snow and poor visibility have made a mess of area roads. Cars have gotten stuck and accumulated or plowed snow across the region.
The snow drift was too high. Couldn't make it over to the left with the regular flow of traffic.
And he ended up stuck in about a foot and a half of snow. Officials in Philadelphia and the suburbs are urging people to stay home, in part so road crews can plow, but also, more importantly, because blizzard conditions overnight are expected to make travel impossible and life-threatening. Tony Hansen, CBS News, Philadelphia.
Mother and son were reunited today in Ocala, Florida. Andrew Kirkert, kidnapped back on Tuesday from his elementary school. He was found about 40 miles northwest of Atlanta, in good shape. That happened a bit over 24 hours ago. Still no sign of the alleged abductor, Frank Fretz, who vanished into the woods. The police and FBI are hunting for him. If you set aside time on, say, a Sunday to give thanks and offer prayers, would that make you more tolerant of what happens in the political arena? Not necessarily so.
We saw quite dramatic decline in willingness to compromise across the board, but especially among people who indicate that they attend religious services once a week.
Ruth Wooden is with Public Agenda, which did some research on Americans who go to church. Those who do are apparently showing less tolerance of political leaders who compromise on hot-button issues such as gay rights or abortion. It could raise a couple $1 million to benefit tsunami survivors. That's from the BBC, streamed from the web. It's a huge concert in Cardiff, Wales, the biggest benefit show in Britain since Live Aid in 1985. This is CBS News.
Now, when you talk trucks, it's hard to talk about the all-new Nissan Titan without using words like powerful, beautiful, comfortable, rugged, tough, sturdy, and that's why every day people pay $25 to $30K. Sutherland Nissan in 2004 sold more new Nissans than ever before. We're going to get bigger in 2005 because at Sutherland, you can drive home your big bad bodacious V8 Titan King Cab XE. $18,988, are you kidding me? Loaded stereo CD, automatic and air, good truck stuff everywhere. $18,988, Naples, are you listening? Dennis, I'm talking to you. If there was ever a real steal a truck deal, this is it. Your all-new rock solid, loaded V8, Titan King Cab XE, $18,988. Waiting for you right now, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shop, on Tamiami Trail. New Titan V8 King Cab XE, $18,988, at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-kaye.
Pins 520-497-519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, hello, we're back. Just out after a fresh cup of coffee, I guess. Hey, we invite you to give us a call. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502. 7503 and 7504. Love it if you'd give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Whether you're left, right, or in between, we'd like to hear your opinion. That's always what makes a great show. Let's go to the phones, by the way, and let's go all the way out to Southern California where it never rains. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Guy?
Great.
I have long been wondering what goes on in the heads of these right-wing talk radio people. What motivates them? Because they know that they're not being accurate. I've seen them as, you know, used car salesmen trying to sell us a real bad product and knowing that they're misrepresenting it badly. And I think learning that how it worked with Armstrong Williams, I'm going to guess he's not an exception.
Wow.
I think all that are willing to spew that craziness are probably being rewarded for it. That would be my guess. It would seem logical. They'd just be paying one.
Right. What are the odds?
Not like, you know, they because of, why else would they be doing it? I mean, they're literally selling their country down the river by twisting and spinning and misrepresenting facts to convince the people, you know, to think the wrong way, to have a lot of hate, to have a lot of prejudices, and that's what they've been doing. I also, it's been my understanding from what I've heard that Armed Forces Radio really only permits a Limbaugh and Hannity, the right-wing troopers over there. You don't ever get to hear a Guy James on right-wing, on Armed Forces Radio.
I believe you're right, Dave.
Somebody had just called saying that they don't like him, so they didn't hear him. But.
Well, yeah, I think perhaps you meant maybe they don't like him but and wouldn't prefer to have him on, but he's on. He's on.
That's all they get to listen to. They know their heads are being programmed over there. Do love your show, Guy. You do a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you, Dave. You know, it's listeners like you that make this show worthwhile doing. We get on here and talk every week, give our opinions. We want to hear your opinions. We hope to shape and mold some opinions with facts, of course. No baloney. We try and stay away from the baloney.
Well, I'm happy to share them because I definitely share your suspicions of this whole dirty outfit.
Oh, certainly. Hey, Dave, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. You know, I've been saying for a long time, and I'm a guy that I guess if I were a big-time politician, I was a little-time politician one time, but if I were a big-time politician up running for national office, I'm told I wouldn't last for 2 days. Why? because I'd get up and tell the truth about everything, whether it hurt or not. Get up and tell the truth. Be what you is. You know that old philosophy, whether you is old and ugly, be what you is, and I think that's what I would be. I object to the Democratic leadership right now, and I don't care if it's Harry Reid, I don't care who it is, Nancy Pelosi, any of them. I object when they're getting beat with a baseball bat day after day after day by the lights of Bill Frist and Denny Hastert and that no-good snake Tom DeLay. Getting beat over the head day after day, and we play nice. We get up and say Condoleezza Rice is obfuscating, that she's being disingenuous. Folks, she's a liar. Where is Harry Truman when you need him? Do any of you my age remember Harry Truman? I loved Harry Truman. Even though I was a little kid when he was president, I've studied the life of Harry Truman. And Harry Truman is my kind of guy. If Harry didn't like you, he'd tell you he didn't like you. If he thought you were lying, he'd look you straight in the eye and say, man, you're a liar. He wouldn't say you're stretching the truth. He wouldn't say you're obfuscating. He wouldn't say you're disingenuous. He said, you, sir, are a liar. I remember cases of it. Truman, he really did consider, Richard Nixon. I looked up a quote from Harry Truman about Richard Nixon, and I don't see anything wrong with this. If I'm in politics, this is what I'm saying. They asked Harry Truman about Richard Nixon, and Harry said, and I quote, Richard Nixon is a no-good lying bastard. He can lie out of both sides of his mouth at the same time, and if he ever got caught telling the truth, he'd lie just to keep his hand in. He's one of the few in the history of this country to run for high office talking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time and lying out of both sides. If he ever slipped and told the truth, he'd tell a lie just to cover it up. There's a real man right there. There's a real man. There's a guy that represented the real feelings of his constituency. You know, a liar is a liar, and there's no use calling them anything else. And when they catch Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and, yes, G.W. Bush himself, and when they catch them in these things, somebody has to stand up and tell it like it is. And yet our Democrat leadership, we don't want to say anything. It's a gentleman's game here in Washington. And the Senate, you know, we're models of decorum, and we don't want to say anything against our fellow senators. Bull! Do the Republicans act that way? Does Tom DeLay act that way? Does Bill Frist act that way? Does Cheney act that way? Paul Wolfowitz, does he act that way? You know, we'll never know what Truman would say about George Bush. But I got an idea. I got an idea. I think who sent me this? Somebody sent me this. Says, lie isn't an adequate word for Republicans say. We need a new term. I propose anti-truth, as in there are lies, damn lies, and Republican anti-truth. Like matter and antimatter, Republicans and the truth just can't occupy the same space. What they say goes all the way through and past untrue into the realm of turning reality inside out, tying a knot in it, and yanking hard. Exactly right. Exactly right. And, let's see, somebody sent me another one here. We don't have any Harry Trumans to bluntly comment on George Bush's inclinations toward prevarications, if I'm going to use the Democratic word, prevarications. Doesn't that sound nice? We've had major newspapers very timidly and very politely point in that direction on rare occasions, as did the New York Times in June of 2004. This from the New York Times. Of all the ways Mr. Bush persuaded Americans to back the invasion of Iraq last year, the most plainly dishonest was his effort to link his war of choice with the battle against terrorists worldwide. Either Mr. Bush knew he was not telling the truth, or he has a capacity for politically motivated self-deception that is terrifying in the post-9/11 world. Yes. Let's go all the way up to beautiful Winter Haven, Florida, and talk to Juanita. Hi, Juanita.
Hi.
It says on here that you wanted to talk about SpongeBob.
Well, for one thing, and also Nero.
Nero.
Yeah, SpongeBob, you know, when I was going to school, we were allowed, the girls were allowed to take biology.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the sponge is an animal with, it has both sexes. You know, it's neither male nor female.
Ah, a very astute observation. I wonder if anybody thought of that about, besides you, Anita. That's pretty clever, I got to tell you. You're right.
And James Dobson, I'm a Christian. I never was seduced by him. I just don't, he's too pat on his answers.
Yes.
And I think now he's going berserk.
He's stepping over to the realm
and,
of more politics than that of a man of the cloth.
And I was seduced by Pat Robertson, sad to say, as I got out. Anyway, do you remember James Dobson and Bundy, Ted Bundy?
No.
Well, you know, he was his spiritual advisor.
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
No, and, Rob, you know, when Bundy found out he was definitely going to be going to electric church, James Dobson was right there with him.
Is that right?
That's right. And he was confessed, you know, to James Dobson. He thought he'd get out of it for a while longer. And James Dobson was saying, well, you know what caused this? He looked at some photography when he was little, and this is what caused all this.
Oh, my.
And then the thing on Nero.
Yeah.
You just talk about, that's what I've always thought about him. But now I'm beginning to think he's Caligula. Because all this pornography stuff, all this torture, don't you think that's pornography? This torture?
Oh, absolutely.
That's and I wonder about Ms. Rice. I mean, what's going on there?
Didn't hear any real objections about any of that, did you?
No.
No, certainly not.
And another thing, did you notice how unhappy most of the Republicans looked?
Yeah, they
except
do.
Jeb Bush, of course. He was so excited.
Well, the old Jebster's thinking about taking his shot at the presidency next time around.
Well, probably Cheney will step down in the middle of the administration, and Jeb will become vice president.
I hadn't thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really on the ball today. first the SpongeBob thing, and now this. you know, let's write that down. January the 22nd, 2005.
Yeah, I'm predicting that.
Juanita says that Cheney is stepping down and the Jebster is going to take over as vice
mm-hmm.
president.
You know, that'll be his last year for governor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I'm going to be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Juanita, thanks for your call, and thank you for your great observation.
You're welcome.
Certainly.
Thank
Bye
you.
Now.
Bye-bye.
You know, there just might be something to that. I hadn't thought of that. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that, but I hadn't thought of that. Oh, man. Would the country put up with that, putting the Jebster in as VP, and then just have him slide right into the White House right after that? Because, let's go on up to Eric in Vermont. Hi, Eric. How's the weather in Vermont tonight?
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Pretty good.
It's -3. We're not getting the snow that Jeff down in New York is getting. It's probably getting down a little bit lower. And I guess Boston's getting a heavy dose, too. So I think it's going to go under us a little bit for the heavy snowfall. But we are getting bad temperatures. It's about -20 last night up here.
Ooh.
Which is cool.
Oh, how nice. And what is the mountain up there? What is it, New Hampshire, that gets the wicked cold? I think maybe even holds the record here in the United States.
Oh, gosh.
You know, Mount
Washington?
It might be.
Oh, darn. Okay, you got me on that.
I love my geography.
I know it.
All
I know it.
I'm stumped
on my tongue
on that.
Right now.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm sure somebody will call in and bail us out of this area. I'm sure.
I know it.
Yeah.
I write songs. I can't even remember my own lyrics.
Right. I know.
I think that last call of Alani, that I've been reading a little bit about that possibility with Cheney and the possibility of Bush coming in there, too, and I think there's a sort of dot there that might need to be connected someplace, possibly. Mm. Never know. Boy, you got rights. Here we go. Here's the lady that can never answer a question without interrupting the senator and sort of impugn their right to
a legitimate question of somebody that's going to be holding the most powerful diplomatic post in this country, as Jeff had called in earlier. That's kind of nuts.
I found her behavior absolutely offensive.
Well, she did the same thing during 9/11 commission, too. I mean, they would ask her questions, and I mean, it was a no answer, like, well, let me say this. And the reason why was this, I mean, she completely skated around anything that they were trying to directly ask her questions. I mean, they couldn't confront her on anything that she should have been responsible for without having her slither out of what she was doing. I thought that was repulsive for somebody that was holding such an important position. Basically, I was kind of calling about what is going on in terms of the Democrats, and I do feel that we have a major problem in this country. We have a bunch of neoconservatives, and I won't even say that they're legitimate conservatives, nor will I say that they are Republicans. I don't think that they have anything to do with either of those two branches. And we have a bunch of Democrats that seem almost as though they are afraid of confronting the issue and thinking that they are going to lose more ground. And it's definitely like the bully effect to me in high school. I mean, if you sit back, the longer you sit back, the worse it's going to get. And when they control everything now, except the right for the Democrats to filibuster, if they can muster up at least the over 40 votes that they need to filibuster anything, that's all the Democrats got left, other than this idea of getting on the rights confirmation and putting it out on the floor, which the Republicans don't want, because that will give them air time on at least C-SPAN, and that will probably get covered a little bit. I have been noticing some of the mainstream media jumping on that just a little bit. How long that will last, we don't know. And I really think it's time for Democrats to say it's now or never. You know?
Oh, the line in the sand.
It's now or never, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If they don't draw a line in the sand right now, they're just going to allow them to steamroll over them on every issue coming up. And the more they give in, the more bold the Republicans get.
Yeah, I mean, especially, I mean, people talk about the Constitution. I mean, our founding fathers set up the Constitution so that there would be checks and balances, so no one group would have such overwhelming control over everything.
That was
the whole concept of the thing. And the Republicans do not seem to want to be satisfied with that. They want everything. And then they still want to point the fingers and say, well, your fault for everything that doesn't go right. That's, you know, anyway, that's where we are, my opinion anyway.
Eric, thanks for your call.
Well, thank you for listening, guys. Thank you for being on.
Thank you, and stay toasty warm up there.
I am. Yeah. I'm drinking my calcium fortified orange juice right now.
That's a boy. Bye now.
Bye now.
You know, it is such a shame. I was talking to someone earlier today, and we were talking about the Republicans seem to have turned it up a notch since the election was over with. They've gotten a little meaner and nastier since then. They're not satisfied that they own the presidency. They're not satisfied that they have the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court and state houses all around the country and the majority of governorships. Make no mistake about it. They want to do away with the Democratic Party. They want it all. They want every bit of it. If you don't understand that, my fellow Democrats and liberals, if you don't understand that, and if you don't reach down and fight back with everything you have, you're terribly mistaken, because the annihilation of the Democratic Party is exactly what they are after right now. And you know, that's scary. That's absolutely scary. I am a partisan Democrat. I'm a liberal Democrat. I'm proud of it. But I will tell you this. I would never, ever, ever want the Democrats to be the only party. There has to be the checks and balances. There has to be the loyal opposition to keep the other side straight. If there is one party running everything, that just means nothing but graft and corruption. And make no mistake about it, if the Democrats were the only ones and controlling everything, there'd be graft and corruption there too. We always have to have the second party to keep everybody honest. And yet, as I said, mark my words, the annihilation of the Democratic Party is exactly what the Republicans are up to right now. You can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203 and 04, 479-5540 and 263-6570 in Collier County. Where are all of our Republican friends? I wonder. Let's go to Gene in Naples. Hi, Gene.
Hey, guy. How are you?
Great.
I'm not one of your Republican friends.
I knew that.
I am one of the Democrats that's still alive and kicking. I think you made some really good points there a minute ago, talking about the potential annihilation of the Democrat Party. And I can tell you, right after the election, a lot of us were stunned, and we're like a fighter that had a few too many punches who set the corner trying to regain our senses. We have regained our senses. We've been working for the last month or so. I've been seeing in my emails that I get every day that in our camp, here in South Florida, there's a lot of determination. Not only are the old hands still with us, but a lot of new people are coming out and getting active again. So I feel better than I felt a month ago. I think there's an underlying determination of the Democrat Party to fight back, meaner and tougher than ever. And I think I see it on the horizon and make us all proud before it's all said and done.
Well, I sure hope so. I know the enthusiasm is kept up down in the Collier County Democratic Club. I know you're still getting quite a few people come to the meetings even after the election. And, you know, Gene, it's just the fact that a lot of people, a lot of thinking people can see what's going on, can feel it, it's real to them, and they feel an obligation to get out and fight against what almost seems like the inevitable at times. But we've got to stay, we've got to be the loyal opposition. We can't be run over like this.
I think what we're seeing, or at least what I'm seeing, is the folks that kind of sit on the sidelines, the Democrats that were inactive and kind of stood by and watched and did their duty and went to the polls and voted for the Democratic, now they're seeing that and understand that they didn't do enough. And they're coming out of the woodwork. We're getting all new faces, new names now, people showing determination that we haven't seen before. And I think it bodes well for the future of the party. Yes, we got, you know, we took a mighty blow, but it's a tough old party, and I think we're still going to be around for a while.
Well, you know, Gene, I think one of the mistakes that I've seen all across the Internet right now, I correspond with many, many hundreds and hundreds and thousands even, speak to of Democrats on the Internet. I think there's a big mistake. The focus already is on who are we going to run for president in 2008. I think that's so wrong. I think the Democrats have so much to be proud of over the years, and our record stands for itself. And I think we need to define who we are, what we are, and what we stand for, and not worry about who the candidate's going to be right now. I don't think we've done a good enough job of defining Democrat.
Exactly. You took the words out of I think that's where I am, and where a lot of my friends and other members of the Democrat Party down here are. Right now is the time to define who we are and not worry about who they are. We're gonna come back strong, but to do it, the American public has to know what we stand for. And it's all the things that have brought the Democrat Party into prominence over the years. None of that's changed. We just got to make it clear again to the American public when they vote for the Democrats, they vote for themselves.
Oh, you're exactly right. And, you know, and looking back, I was so proud of the grassroots efforts here locally in Southwest Florida. So proud of that. I know how hard everybody worked, but I look at the national effort. You and I, and many people listening, we know in our hearts what we are as Democrats. We know what we stand for, but we've got to go beyond that, and we've got to convince others who are sitting on the fence of what the Democratic Party is all about. Can anybody tell me what John Kerry's position on the war is?
No, and John Kerry can't either.
No. They did a lousy job on that. They did a lousy job of defining so many issues that, you know, I don't want to hear it from the top of the party down. I don't want to hear anybody criticizing the grassroots, because I think the grassroots had it together. I think the leadership let us down.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. You and I agree, and I think a lot of others agree, that it's upside down. The leadership of the Democrat Party across this country is in small counties and small towns all across America, where people just like myself and radio shows like yours are getting started, and small clubs are being organized and activist groups are being motivated. That's where the leadership is. The leadership of the Democrat Party is yet to make itself visible. It's coming. It's growing. There's an undertone of strength in the party right now. I know we took a heavy shot, but you know what? It didn't knock us out. It just knocked us down.
It's got to be something we learn from.
You betcha. And I think we will. I really feel good about it.
I'm going to let you go. You're cutting into my sleep time. I don't know about this new evening hours thing. You're going to get all these night owls calling you, and I'm not one of them.
Well.
But I'll tell you what. I'm going to encourage all my fellow listeners in Southwest Florida to send you a $20 bill or something, because the show deserves to stay on the air. I think you do a fabulous job, and all I can tell you is keep up the good work, because you're motivating Democrats, and as long as you're on the air, there's people listening, there's people taking strength from it.
Thank you, Gene. Good to hear
about you. Bye-bye.
Well, hey, I want to do something for my Democrat friends right now. You remember last week we had a gentleman on talking about the war on drugs, about his war against the war on drugs, and what a ridiculous notion it was, this war on drugs, and how it's been a total failure and so forth. The man has written several books, but one of them that I spoke about last week is called The Great Divide, Retro versus Metro America. One of the most important books of our time, I assure you. All of my friends who are interested in politics, you simply must get this book, The Great Divide, Retro versus Metro. You can get it on Amazon. I wish you would get it. If you are a politico like myself, if you're interested in all the demographics and the trends and just anything political going on in the United States right now between the red and the blue states, I urge you to get this book. I'm urging you to get it, and right now I'm going to give you one of these books. Absolutely free. I don't know what it is. It's a, I don't know, that from Amazon, $32, $27, I'm not sure. But to the first person that calls me and tells me who wrote that book, I'm going to send you a free copy of it. Yes, sir. And believe me, you will be most happy to have this book in your hands. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. And in Lee County, Florida, 479-5540. And in Collier County, 263-6570. If you're the first one to call and tell me the author of that book, The Great Divide, Retro versus Metro, you're going to get a free copy courtesy of The Guy James Show. We're going to pause for a break right now, and we'll be back and get to the phones in just a minute.
The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
If you're like most people, you've got a calendar to help you stay organized, or a day planner, or some PDA you're still figuring out how to use. And it helps keep track of the anniversaries and birthdays that our overworked brains can't remember. That way we know exactly when things will happen and how long we can put off making arrangements for them. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendar because we don't know when they'll happen, if at all. Like some sort of household emergency, or a disaster, or even a fire. But when it does, the time to prepare for it has already passed. So get together with your family today and prepare for the unexpected by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. That way you'll all know exactly what to do in the event of an emergency. Where to go, who to call, how to help each other. But do it today, so you won't get caught by surprise tomorrow. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how to make your family disaster plan, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
From the Wink WNOG community calendar, here are some events coming up in your community. Lake Kennedy Senior Center presents A Trip to Monkey Jungle on Wednesday, January 26th. Monkey Jungle is home to over 400 primates, most running free on a 30-acre reserve in South Miami. The bus will leave at 8 a.m. and return at 7:30 p.m. For ticket prices, reservations, and more information, call 574-0575. On February 4th, Lake Kennedy Senior Center will also be sponsoring a trip down to South Beach in Miami. The bus will leave at 7:45 from the Senior Center in Cape Coral. For ticket prices, reservations, and more information, call 574-0575. If your nonprofit group has an event coming up, fax us the information at least 2 weeks in advance of the event, and we'll share it with our listeners. The Wink WNOG Community Calendar fax line is 332-0767. That's 332-0767. I'm Biz Hoffman with your Wink WNOG Community Calendar.
Hey, Dad.
What?
Can I get the ketchup bottle open?
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, well, are we going to give away that book or not? Huh? The Great Divide, Retro versus Metro. And let's just go to the phone and see if someone knows. Sue, do you know who wrote that book?
Yes, I do. Dr. John Sperling.
Well, by golly, you're going to get a free copy of that book.
Well, I'll tell you, Guy, I have the book.
Ah.
And that's not quite fair to the rest of the people, but if you know somebody that's very deserving and maybe can't afford the book, I would appreciate it if you give it to them.
Well, Sue, what a nice gesture. What a very nice gesture. I think you know the value of this book.
Yes, I do. I haven't got all through it yet because I just haven't had the time to really get into it. You know, it's not light reading.
No, it isn't. We know we had Dr. Sperling on the program.
Yes, I heard him last week.
And we're going to have him on again very soon.
I'll look forward to that, but if you give it to somebody deserving, because I don't need two of them, but I knew it, so I thought I'll just call and let you know.
Well, Sue, I appreciate that so much, and I assure you the recipient of the book is going to appreciate it as well.
Well, I hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you, Guy. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, my goodness, what a nice gesture that is. You know, And I mean it. You got to get a hold of this book. You have got to get a hold of that book. I'm not hawking books. I don't get anything for selling books. And I assure you, Dr. Sperling doesn't need the money. But it's just important. It's important that thinking people read this book. That it really is. You know, Molly Ivins is. Well, you know, Sue that just called. She said she's got that book, and she'd like to make sure someone else got the copy of it. Isn't she a fine Democrat? Isn't she? Isn't that what we like to think we are down deep in our hearts, we Democrats, that we share and we care, and we talk about we instead of me? Isn't that what we are? Isn't that the true definition of a Democrat? I think so. I like to think we're that way, and you know, as I've always defined it, the Democrats are the we party, and the Republicans are the me party, and I think these last 4 years have pointed that out ever so directly. Molly Ivins, one of my very favorite writers. I love Molly. I love Molly, and she is a little bit like Harry Truman. She really is. She believes in calling it like it is. She had a column this past week. It says, excuse me, but is that smoke in your ear? I wouldn't go calling anyone a liar, but as we say in our quaint Texas fashion, this administration is stuffed with people who are on a first-name basis with the bottom of the deck. They've been telling us only 4 out of the 18 provinces in Iraq, get this, only 4 out of the 18 provinces in Iraq will be too unsafe to vote in. Doesn't sound that bad, does it? And boys and girls, you've all heard that, right? You've all heard everybody out in front of Condoleezza and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all the generals. They've all been trumpeting the fact that there's 18 provinces in Iraq, folks, and only 4 of them are unsafe to vote in. So what's the big deal? My Molly will tell you what the big deal is, unless you happen to know that about 50% of the population lives in those four provinces. Huh? Now does that mean something? Now does the fact that only four provinces can't vote, now does that mean something to you? 50% of the population. And Molly goes on to say, will someone explain to me what earthly good they expect to do by misleading us? If, God forbid, the Iraqi election turns out to be a disaster, will we be better off for not having expected it? How long are George Bush and Dick Cheney going to sit there pretending the problem is that the media won't report the good news out of Iraq? Be a lot more useful if they paid attention to the bad news, wouldn't it? You know, resign to the fact that Social Security will have to be dismantled because it's in such terrible, awful trouble, headed toward bankruptcy the day after tomorrow? Well, the $10 trillion in unfunded liabilities they keep talking about sure sounds like a load of trouble, except that it's a completely phony number, not based on what will happen in 25 years or 50 or 75, but on infinity, forever and ever. Bush says the crisis is now, and Social Security will go into the red as of 2018. Just 13 years from now, we might actually live that long, except nobody else says that. The Social Security trustees, paid to be professional gloom mongers on this subject, say it's good until 2042. And the conservative estimate by the Congressional Budget Office is 2052. Not before Social Security goes broke, but before Social Security has to dip into its trust fund. Get a grip. You know, according to Bush, we're also having a lawsuit crisis. He got so exercised over it last week, he used the word crisis four times in one speech. And Molly says, in Texas, we've had tort reform up to our ears. And actually, she calls it tort deform. Med-Mal, as medical malpractice insurance is known in legislative circles, has been tort deformed out the wazoo here. $250,000 award caps, the whole ball of wax. The net result? Here's what your tort reform got you in Texas. Proposed rate increases for three of the state's largest Med-Mal carriers up to 16.6% to 35.2%. This is after the tort reform, folks. In Oklahoma, up 83% over 3 years for the largest Med-Mal provider. In Ohio, 10% to 40% in the range of expected rate increases by the five major carriers. Tort reform doesn't work worth a damn. You know, more fun with numbers, Molly goes on. The Bushies are crowing that their job forecast for last year was right on target. Which forecast? They predicted total job growth of 3.8 million, and it was actually 2.2 million. That's the difference between the total jobs in December versus the number at the beginning of the year. And they also predicted the average number of jobs to increase by 2.6 million, when in fact it turned out to be 1.3 million higher than in 2003. That being a difference between the average number of jobs in 2003-2004. These people just playing liar's poker constantly. You know, she goes on to say, I'm not accusing anyone of lying, but of course, and I love this line, these people are slicker than bus station chili. Count your change when dealing with the Bushes. Amen, Molly. Couldn't be more right on the money than that. Let's go to Ray in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Ray.
Hello.
Hi. I have to turn your radio down here. There you
go. Okay. Yeah, I'm near the TV set. I mean, near the computer. Okay. I'm not on air, right?
Yes, you are.
I am?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, I was really misled by the computer. Hey, guy, you're doing a fabulous job, as usual. It's just unbelievable how people of faith can be so misled into believing that a liar like Bush, and he compares himself and people compare him to George Washington. There is a good comparison. George Washington wasn't really as perfect as some people made him out to be, but, you know, the story goes that he couldn't tell a lie, And, well, Bush is very similar, except that he can't tell the truth.
That's
he can't open his mouth without lying, even when it's unnecessary. But you're trying to set the record straight, and hopefully a few minds will be opened. It's just unbelievable that anybody can continue to believe Bush and his whole administration.
Well, Ray, you know, I hate to think that, what is it, I'm trying to think how many, 51, 52 million people in this country can be so bamboozled by somebody. Have they closed their minds? Are their ears deaf to truth? Do we write off these 51 or 52 million people and just know that they're never going to accept the truth? I hope that's not true.
I can't hear you here. I wonder if there's something on your end. I've tried making changes at my end.
No, we're doing fine here. We know.
Okay. Well, I can barely hear you.
Okay.
But in any event, I hear you on the computer. It's streaming through beautifully, and it's great. Did you look up Tom DeLay's scripture reading?
Well, you know, Ray, Tom DeLay is the last guy in the world I want to hear. I tell you, when I see him, quoting scripture, it scares me. It really does. Ray, I think we're having phone trouble of some kind.
Yeah. Well, let me just say one more thing. I hope you'll look up a page that I've just recently added to my website about the social gospel. I don't know if I've mentioned the social gospel on your program before, but in the early 20th century, the gospel of Christ was really rediscovered in a fabulous way, and it was perhaps as a result of the terrible period of slavery in which Christianity was a total failure. In fact, Christian churches even supported slavery. And if they didn't support it, they weren't very effective in ending it. It just lasted for hundreds of years. But the social gospel tackled the faith in a brand new way, at least in our country, and promoted the idea that the gospel isn't something private. It's something that affects the whole of society. That's what the Bible was like. It really stressed morality as a community affair and countrywide, nationwide, and worldwide morality. And they called that the social gospel. And it affected business in a fabulous way because it pointed out the problems with crass commercialism and corporatism. And the business people, of course, didn't like that. So they actually started the fundamentalist movement. The fundamentalist movement, which today has triumphed in America, was started in the early 20th century as a response to the social gospel. So I hope your listeners, and you and your listeners, will go to my website, liberalslikechrist.org/social gospel, and see, for example, this is what the churches of that time, which adopted the social gospel, professed as what they called the social creed. And listen to this in as you listen to this, keep in mind what the New Deal accomplished. And ask yourselves, gee, where did the New Deal get, first of all, the idea of the title, New Deal? The gospel, I mean, the testament, the word testament means deal, in effect. And New Deal, I believe, was inspired by the words New Testament. And this is what they professed.
Well,
the church stands for equal rights and complete justice for all men in all stations of life. This is 1908.
Well, that's where the idea came from. It certainly didn't come from a politician in the first place. It came from religion.
Well, check it out. That's only one of many. One of the others is for a living wage in every industry. For the gradual and reasonable reduction of the hours of labor to the lowest practical point with work for all, and for that degree of leisure for all, which is the condition of the highest human life. The suppression of the sweat shop system, the abolition of child labor, the protection of the worker from dangerous machinery, occupational diseases, injuries, and mortality. All of these were inspired by the faith in the social creed, or the social gospel, which I'm trying to revive through my website.
Well, Ray, we'll get everybody over to take a good look at that. And
very good. Take care, and God love you.
Hey, we're up against a break right now. We're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Guy James Show.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
My banker is Muslim, my doctor is Jewish, me, I'm a Christian.
We can major on our differences, label each other wrong, or we can find what we have in common.
All three of us begin our faith with the words, in the beginning, God.
If that's not a basis for conversation, what is? All our faiths end in, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What are we waiting for?
From the Mennonite Churches. For more information, visit thirdway.com.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504, 479-5540 here in Lee County, and 263-6570 in Collier County. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago. We were talking about the we versus me between the two parties. And, you know, I think a lot about that. I really do. And have you noticed that most of the Republican agenda isn't aimed at progress or the welfare of the people? Have you noticed that? Think about it for a minute. Even your Republicans, think about it. You know, at least for the immediate future, their goal really does seem to be the elimination of the Democratic Party. That's what they're up to. That's what Tom DeLay and Bill Frist and Denny Hastert and Karl Rove and the gang really want to do. They're concentrating on getting rid of the Democrats so they can really go to town on their neocon agenda. That's what it's all about, folks. You know, they realize that there are still enough of us to put up a fight when they want to work on world domination and global perpetual war and elimination of taxes for the rich. And the elimination of all things good brought on by the Democrats over the last few decades, and that includes that wonderful New Deal we were talking about earlier. They talk about fixing Social Security. You know how ludicrous that is for a Republican to talk? Think about how absolutely crazy that sounds, that a Republican is talking about fixing Social Security. Folks, the plain, hard fact is that they want nothing more than to end Social Security. There's no argument about that. They fought it tooth and nail when Roosevelt tried to get it started. The Republicans fought so hard against Social Security. And think of all they fought against it over all these years. And now they want to privatize it. You know, Republican and Social Security is an oxymoron that like no other. It's ludicrous for a Republican to talk about fixing Social Security. I'm not going to be around long enough to see it, and maybe none of you are, maybe some of you younger ones, but folks, they want to get rid of Social Security. They want to get rid of Medicare. They want to get rid of all that. They do. And, you know, it's a fact that the $1 trillion, and it is, I think, $940 billion they want to extract from the Social Security system because of their privatization hoax, it's got to be replaced. And it will be replaced with more taxes on guess who? That's right, boys and girls. It's going to be replaced by those who can least afford more taxes. Did you know that the average person that goes out and works, let's say, for $50,000, if you go out and you got a job and you dig ditches and you make $50,000 a year, and your neighbor across the street, well, way across the street in the gated community, he makes $50,000 a year off of his investments, do you know on the average you pay three times the taxes on your $50,000 that he paid on his and just from investments? You got your by the sweat of your brow, and he got his by giving his money to an investment a brokerage house. And he pays three times, and you pay three times the taxes on your $50,000 that they pay on their $50,000 in investments. Is that fair? I'm not arguing that people shouldn't invest and make money. That's fine with me. But it always ends up on the backs of those who can least afford it. And the point I'm trying to make here is the Democrats fully realize this, and they know that some responsible party is going to have to raise the taxes to pay for the Republicans' privatization, and the Republicans are prepared to beat them over the head with the old tax and spend line when they do it. You know, we're going to have to make up for this shortfall. And mark my word, the moment they do it, the Republicans are going to jump out of the way and go, oh, the taxes, the Democrats and the taxes. You know, so once again, the agenda is beating the Democrats and not helping the citizens. The Republicans full well know that the Democrats will endeavor to fix the Social Security problem the Republicans created because we care about the welfare of all the citizens, not just a privileged few. You know, all the social programs we have in this country were made by Democrats, and they weren't made toward the rich. They were made for you. They were made for me. They were made for those who didn't have wealth. That's what the Democrats cared about. The Republicans are prepared to push Social Security as we know it right down the drain for political gain and for untold riches for their investment house friends, because, you see, they're not about working for all of the people. They're about working for very few of the people. They're about working for those people that wore the mink coats to the inaugural ball the other night. They're about working for the people that wore the $10,000 boots to the Wyoming Texas ball the other night. That's who they're working for. They're working for the Enrons. They're working for the Mobil Oil. They're working for the Exxon Oil. They're working for their friends. They're not working for you and me. How could they have convinced a slight majority of American people that they're working for them? I don't understand it. The thing is, how do they get away with it with their own people, the red staters? You know, easy. It is easy when you think about it. They convinced the red state Republicans that it's someone else who's going to get screwed. That's all there is to it. The Hispanics, yeah, they're going to get screwed. The blacks, anyone in the average... the white middle-class voters themselves, so long as it's someone else. And that's the phrase right there. So long as it's someone else who's getting screwed, who cares? After all, isn't it the foundation on which the modern-day Republican Party is based upon? Screw everybody else and leave me alone. And so it works. It works really well. As long as you don't screw with me and pretend to be religious... and pretend to protect me from the evildoers. I'll back you, Georgie. I'm with you, Georgie. Just don't forget, screw over everyone else but me, and we're cool, Georgie. That's how it is. That's how it really is. If you're average Joe Republican and you think this administration is fighting for you, I'd like you to call me and let me know what he's done for you. If you are, in fact, like a lot of the polls say, you voted for Bush because he kept you safe, would you like to call and tell me how you're safer now than you were on 9/11? Would you? Would you like to tell me how we're better off since 9/11 with nearly 1,500 of our kids slaughtered in Iraq? Would you like to tell me how the world is better off with 100,000 Iraqis getting slaughtered in Iraq? And now we're talking about going into Iran? It's a powder keg. The Middle East is a powder keg, and this is going to grow exponentially. You know it will grow exponentially. I can't talk today. The Muslims hate us over there. Of course they do. You know, there's millions of wonderful Muslim people in this world that pray to their God and live a good life and do what's right with their family and their fellow man. They didn't ask for this fight, but they're turning against us. Those good and decent Muslim people are turning against us. Why? Because they see this regime, this Bush regime, for what it actually is. An oppressive regime. A regime that literally wants to take over the world. They want to make the rules for the entire world. They want to now tell the rest of the world, as Bush did in his speech the other night, that I will decide who, when, and and what kind of democracy that you should have in your country. I have decided in what you need in Iraq, the democracy in Iraq that you must have. Do you know that the people voting in Iraq next week don't know who the candidates are? Do you know that? Do you know they're voting for a party? That's all? The candidate's name will not appear on the ballot. You are voting for a party for each office, but not the candidate. Why? Because the candidates don't want their names on the ballot because they're going to get killed. Is that democracy? Is that this great election George Bush has been trumpeting for a couple of years now, how we're going to set these people free and let them vote for the first time? We're going to install an American puppet to run the government of Iraq just like we did in Afghanistan. Make no mistake about it, that's what we're going to do. Whoever's going to run that country is going to have his strings pulled from Washington. There's no question about that. Nobody doubts that. It's what happened in Afghanistan. It's absolutely what's going to happen in Iraq. Mark my word. And this trouble will keep on going and going and going, and God only knows how long it's going to take to get the American troops out of harm's way in that god-awful country. It's going to be a mess for a long time. I can only hope someone in Washington comes to their senses. You're listening to the Guy James Show. Wink, WNOG, 1240, 1270, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink, WNOG.
News. I'm Dave Barrett. In the city that never sleeps, the mayor says don't put your car in gear tonight.
Some common sense. This is not weather to go and drive around in. This is weather to go and take the subway or to walk or stay home and read a good book.
That's New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. A foot of snow or more could blanket the city. In the suburbs, a husband and wife have been out walking. Alan?
Celebrating her birthday, which is February 1st, and since I'm not going to be here, we took advantage of the Morton's being open.
And Lynn?
I'm actually not miserable at all. I love the snow, and it's so beautiful.
Not so pretty. If you're traveling in Chicago, more than 600 flights were canceled at O'Hare International Airport. Other passengers went nowhere at Midway Airport. Blizzard conditions in northwest Illinois. Wind gusts have hit 60 miles an hour there for the first time in more than 9 years. Philadelphia's airport is closed because of weather. There's no travel on New Jersey highways allowed now. A state of emergency has been declared there. Trucks are banned from highways in Connecticut, where 900 crews are trying to stay ahead of what could be 2 feet of snow in the Nutmeg State. And then the winds. Bernie Reno is a meteorologist with AccuWeather.
This is a blizzard Sunday morning. From New York City up toward Boston, the snow will start to wind down, but the winds will continue to blow throughout the day. We're going to see extensive blowing and drifting and difficult travel.
At Philadelphia's Lincoln Field, a snow clearing machine was busy. Plenty of work before tomorrow's NFC title game between the hometown Eagles and Atlanta. Wind chills will be zero there, and about the same in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers meet New England for the AFC crown. The winners of those football games get to warm up in Jacksonville at Super Bowl 39. 5,220 voting centers will be ready to go. Iraqi police and National Guard troops will provide security. That's next weekend. But there are lots of precautions to be put in place before free elections take place in Iraq. In Baghdad, CBS's David Hawkins.
They're going to declare a national holiday starting the day before the elections, January 29th, the elections being January 30th. They're going to close Baghdad's international airport. They're going to shut down traffic throughout the country. They're going to ban travel between Iraqi provinces. There's going to be a weapons ban as well. The idea is to make it very, very difficult for the insurgents to get around.
Donald Trump's gotten married to Melania Knaus in an hour-long ceremony in Palm Beach, Florida. Pat O'Brien, host of the Insider TV show, was at the ceremony, sitting there with Billy Joel and Rudy Giuliani and Don King. How big a love match is this?
We've been calling it the wedding of the century, even though the century's, 5 years in. But it was a big deal. I mean, it was, Donald Trump. And it was amusing to hear, for richer or for poorer, at that altar with Donald Trump standing there.
This is CBS News.
So, you're a business owner looking at a shoebox full of...
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed. For the next day, they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center. But the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jeff Corwin from Animal Planet. Years ago, Americans learned the tuna they were eating was caught in a way that killed thousands of dolphins. Our government responded by banning the import of this tuna. The Dolphin Safe Tuna label was put on tuna cans to help consumers make the right choice. And dolphin deaths dropped by 90%. But proposed changes to this program would allow dolphin deadly tuna to be sold under the Dolphin Safe label. Visit SaveDolphins.org to learn how you can help.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, here we are at, what is it, 9:05. Got 55 minutes left in the program. We hope you give us a call. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. 479-5540 in Lee County and 263-6570 to our friends from the south here in Collier County. Let's go over the phone right now. We got Diana in North Fort Myers.
Guy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Because I can barely hear you. I want to be an encourager. I do not normally just, I don't give respect away. People do not just get my confidence. They have to earn it. And I've been that way all my life. And I would like to say that even though I'm terminally ill, living on a very fixed income, very, very modest, I am going to start supporting you at the end of the month, and I'm encouraging everyone to do so. I don't care what party you are, because I believe in supporting what is true. And if you've got truth left in this country, by golly, support it. Because where else can you go, people? Where else can you go except for God James right now? And as a Christian, I believe in tithing. And it's hard for me to find a place that I will tithe. I believe that this is my tithe. I trust in it because I'm giving to the truth. And I just wanted to say, too, on the book, I hope you'll donate it to the library so that a lot of people can enjoy that book. And that's all I had to say. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for your call. And I do want to remind everybody that you can help keep this show, keep the train on the tracks here, this Democratic Liberal train on the tracks, by going to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and you have an opportunity there to, well, just give millions and thousands of dollars and everything to the Guy James Show. We do appreciate it. And that's how this show stays on the air, by the way. To those of you who haven't heard the show before, well, we stay on the air as a result of your support. And we don't have any big sponsors, nothing like that. The DNC doesn't sponsor this show. Really, nobody sponsored this show except the listeners, and we're proud of that fact. We really are. You know, we were talking earlier about some of the crazy stuff these Bush people, the fantasies, the fantasies of the Bush administration. You know, there's just so many questions that come up when you talk about the Bushes and what they've done. You know, if Osama bin Laden does in fact head a vast international terrorist organization with trained operatives in more than 40 countries, as claimed by Bush. Why? You tell me why, despite torture of prisoners, why has this administration failed to produce hard evidence of it? And they haven't. How can it be that that in Britain, since 9/11, 664 people have been detained on suspicion of terrorism, but only 17 have been found guilty, most of them with no connection to Islamist groups, and zero, who were proven members of Al-Qaeda? You know, why have we heard so much frightening talk about dirty bombs when experts say it's panic rather than radioactivity that would kill people? You know, why did Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld claim on Meet the Press in 2001 that Al-Qaeda controlled massive high-tech cave complexes in Afghanistan when British and U.S. military forces later found no such thing? How can that be? You know, it's absolutely true, and I think it's been proven true, that an embittered, well-connected, and obviously wealthy Saudi Arabian named Osama bin Laden helped finance various groups of Islamist fanatics that have, in fact, engaged in terroring, including the 9/11 attack. But Bush has blown this all out of proportion. Just one thing after another. You know, they've succeeded in promoting scare tactics in this country, and that's what they're best at. They're best at manufacturing crises. They're best at scare tactics. Now they're trying to make sure the Social Security is billed as in a crisis situation. Why have we had no yellow alerts since the election? Did you notice that in the time before the election, every time something serious had come up against Bush, to be a yellow alert, we were in danger? Nonsense? I don't know. I could be wrong. Seems a little odd to me. Let's go to the phones. We've got Dean in Naples. Hi, Dean.
Hello?
Dean, are you with us?
The phone almost cut out when you picked up. It was great before. I was wondering about the outsourcing of jobs to China and the Democrats' stand on that. And also,
I don't know how we're going to keep the jobs here in this country. All I know is it seems right now that no one's making an honest attempt to do it. We've shipped technology overseas in a tremendous amount. We've shipped jobs overseas. We've done very little to protect American jobs, and I think it's time that both parties get really serious about it. I don't think anyone's gotten serious about it so far, either the Democrats nor the Republicans.
And, you know, also what shoehorns into this was illegal immigration, you know, taking away the industry jobs, it seems like, on both fronts. You know, we're losing it to China, and the immigrants are coming in.
Where do you live? You live in Naples? Okay. As you know, we've got many immigrants in the area where we live. I don't see any of them getting any high paid jobs. Of course, we don't have any manufacturing jobs or what I would call good middle class jobs around this area. Would you agree?
There are actually a few. You know, we're losing those to Mexico and some to China.
Yeah, that's sure are. One company after another. I think we can, in part, if we want to talk about one boogeyman that belongs in that group, it's certainly Walmart. They've done their short share to help that out. And if you don't believe that, ask the Huffy Bicycle folks. They've got a sad story to tell you.
Well, the big scary thing is Walmart will be getting into appliances, you know, washers and dryers,
sure,
and stoves, and the big fear in the manufacturing sector is that will decimate the American manufacturing of those appliances.
Well, good old Walmart's going to have their way, and unless someone stands up to them, and of course, there you go, political money, political donations, that helps them keep their train on the tracks, that's for sure. Dean, thanks for your call. Good,
okay.
Very good to hear from you. questions that need to be answered, not only by Republicans, got to be answered by Democrats, too. To be very honest with you, I don't see the Democrats doing a whole lot about the jobs being shipped overseas right now. You know what it is? I think it's a problem no one knows how to handle. I don't think anybody's figured out how to handle it yet. I really don't. Not only the job situation, but the gentleman brought up, Dean brought up two good points. There are two hot potatoes right there that neither party's very good at handling, and one is the immigration problem. It most certainly is. You know, as a compassionate liberal Democrat, I look at that situation, and I've got terrible mixed emotions about it. I really do. On the one hand, I feel doggone sorry for the people that need to come over here and get a job and send money back home to a family that they cannot otherwise support in their own country. I have great empathy for that. On the other hand, I see our resources being drained by this in several states in the Southwestern and, in California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas. It's a problem. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm certainly not smart enough to figure that one out, and I guess no one else is either, because there has been no good answer to that problem. I think Bush is undecided on it, and I know just about everybody's undecided on it in the administration. So I'm gonna owe a lot of respect to somebody that solves that problem, most certainly. Let's go to D in Punta Gorda. Hi, D.
My name is B.
Hi.
Jock Guy, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my name is B, and I'm from Punta Gorda. I moved down from the great state of Maryland, where we are really Democratic up there, and I was shocked that there's so few Democrats down here when I first came. But I got to tell you that I see more and more, because I belong to the Charlotte County Democratic Club, and there are more people joining now, so that is a good time. And I just have to say that I don't feel W has reached his tune now. He's going to be Mr. Nice Guy as opposed to being a jackass like he was prior to this election. My concern is we have to get more Democrats in local elections and start from there, and maybe work up, and because I really feel that a brighter day coming, and we're going to make it, because we stand for too many good things. And I guess that's all I want to tell you. You're a breath of fresh air, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling this program.
Bye-bye.
We hope you'll continue to listen to the program. Always good to have new listeners. Want to take just a moment and thank some folks. Some thanks to folks that help keep this show on the air. Eric Peterson. David Goggins out in Eureka, California. William Tuddenham in Naples. Danielle Mosher, Bethesda, Maryland. Carolyn Wyatt, Madison, Wisconsin. Chris Kern in Hudson, Florida. Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sir. Gene Legg in Valley City, North Dakota. Mr. and Mrs. Arnie Arneson. Jahan and Marie Charles in Fort Myers, Florida. Bill Beaumont. Luciano Yercity. John Coolidge. William Sherrill. Paul Gibson in Naples. Patrick O'Sullivan in Fort Myers. Elizabeth Harlow in Fort Myers. Martin and Michelle Kazard, Chicago. Ryan Veit, Larry and Judy Galinsky in Naples. Who else we got on here? C.E. Fariner in Naples, Florida. Richard McCarthy in Naples. Elaine Miller and Virginia Miller in Newton, Iowa. I like Newton, Iowa. I'm a farm boy. Naturally, I would like Iowa. Elizabeth Harlow, Mr. and Mrs. Harold Schechter in Fort Myers. Richard Praz in Naples, Florida. Ralph Edmondson. I said William Sherrill already, didn't I? Thanks to those people for help keeping this show on the air. And let me just find a couple more here. I've got several sheets of folks that help keep this program on the air, and I don't want to cut anybody short. Gina Gilbert Pollock and David Birch, our good friend David Birch. By the way, you can catch this show on the archives of WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. A site maintained by Ben Birch, a great site, and it's a great work he does by putting on the liberal shows on there. He's got my friend. I'm having a brain problem here right now. Can't think of anything. But we got my friend Mike Malloy on there, and my friend Randy Rhodes on there, and some other shows. And our show is archived on there as well. So you can go there 24 hours a day and listen, download, and listen to the program. Gretchen Adams, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Elena LaBar, Helen Folker. Who else we got on this list here? Jeffrey Hales, Paul Johnson, Susan O'Donnell, Joe Hinckley, Jeff Matson, and Linda Davis, J.D. Morrow, Robert DeVale, Marie Nelson, Vicki Sandak, and Robert Wood. And we'll be telling you about some other folks from time to time that support the program. We're so appreciative that you find the show worthwhile and want to keep it on the air. And we hope some of you folks that have not contributed to the program will consider doing so. We'll do the best we can to bring you the truth every week. It's one thing we like to deal in on this program is the truth. We won't give you any BS. We won't give you any, we won't give you the BS they pass out on some of the other shows. We really won't. And speaking of other shows, I don't know how many of you heard this, and I hope not many of you did, because I want to spare you from the propaganda, but I heard that right-wing madman Sean Hannity going on the other day about how horrible the Democrats are, and that he was predicting that they'd spend the next 4 years. Well, listen to what I'm saying here. He actually said this. He said the Democrats are going to spend these next 4 years trying to remove Bush from office. Think about that. Now, I know some of these rum-dums that probably heard him. Probably some of these Republican listeners go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what he's going to do, all right. I guess he actually does think his listeners are that stupid. In fact, I guess he actually knows his listeners are that stupid, many of them anyway. They must be if they swallowed that one. First of all, the very idea that the Democrats could remove Bush from office is laughable. With a Republican Senate, House, and Supreme Court, and Hannity failed to mention how this ridiculous notion was even possible, let alone probable. You know, I'd submit to you that Bush and his administration are guilty of a number of offenses that get any other president impeached, but that's an argument for another day. What I find fascinating, and I really do find it fascinating, that Hannity would be stupid enough to say that when he knows full well that the Republicans spent 8 years going after Clinton. And, in fact, even more than 8 years, because a couple of them announced that they'd remove him from office even before he took the oath. We've told you that before. Talked about it earlier on the program. You know, for 8 years, the Republicans conducted a never-ending circus with a goal of getting Clinton out of office by any means they could. You really believe that the lie about sex was worthy of an impeachment of a president? You know, was the national security at issue? Was the welfare of American citizens at risk because Clinton lied about a sex? You know, I don't think so. And neither does anyone else that's got their head on straight. You know, the Clinton impeachment. I stop back and think about that. That was just... Sometimes I think it was a dream that it actually happened. I can't imagine that those people actually worked that hard to do that to Bill Clinton. And, of course, Clinton was foolish. He knew they had a net all set for him. They knew they had a trap set for him. He knew that. And don't you know, he comes on and steps his big old foot right in that trap and helped him along. Boy, I tell you, Bill, I did a lot of damage to the Democrats. A lot of damage. A lot of damage. And we're not over it yet. And I really believe that Al Gore would have been president. Al Gore would have gotten reelected if it hadn't been for the Monica Lewinsky affair. I do believe that. I do. I'll always believe that. So, Bill isn't blameless in this whole thing. If you don't believe that, ask Hillary. Who do you think is going to run for president on the Democrats next time? I'd love to hear your opinion on that. Who's it going to be? I spoke earlier that we are probably spending too much time trying to decide who's going to run on the Democratic ticket next time. It appears that Joe Biden is testing the waters again. It appears that John Kerry's testing the waters again. Forget it, John. Looks like John Edwards hasn't completely forgotten about it. Looks like, well, the studio audience, just maybe Al Sharpton will run again. I guess Al Sharpton probably will run again. And I still say I'd have made Al Sharpton press secretary if we got in. I would. Can you imagine that? Press conferences every day with Al Sharpton. I think Al's, first of all, he's one of the smartest guys that ever lived. I mean, there's just no question Al Sharpton is absolutely brilliant. I wouldn't want to debate Al Sharpton for love nor money. The guy's just got it. He's got a great sense of humor. He's got it all. He really does. Al Sharpton is one smart cookie. I just love the guy. I really do. But who else might run? Vilsack from Iowa. His name's being mentioned. Of course, Evan Bayh from Indiana is being mentioned. Hillary's been mentioned. Who else? Lots of people. God, I hope Joe Lieberman forgets about it the next time around. I don't know that I can stand that again. But it'll be interesting. But like I said earlier on in the program today, we need not worry too much about that right now. That'll take care of itself. It really will. It'll take good care of itself. We need to worry about defining the Democratic Party once again and getting the Democratic Party up and running as the smooth machine it used to be, and not letting the Republicans define us, but defining ourselves, what we are and what we stand for. I think we did a terrible job. We did an absolute terrible job this past election of letting John Q. Public know what we stand for. And I think there are many issues that they just don't know what John Kerry stood for. I really, and look how bad it made us look on this Christian thing. Did you know that no Democrats are Christians? That's what they made it seem like. They most certainly did. And who do you think will be running for president on the Republican side of things? Most certainly John McCain. I think absolutely that's a given. Do you think Jeb Bush will be in there? Giuliani, has he had too much of a problem with this Homeland Security geek that he put up? Will that cost him the election? You know, he's pro-choice, and of course we've got, what's his name over there in Pennsylvania? Or Pataki. We've got Pataki in New York. I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I think Pataki is pro-choice as well. Would the Republicans really be hypocritical enough to put up a pro-choice candidate as their president? Or would Pataki and Giuliani change their stripes between now and then? Politicians have been known to do a thing or two like that. I really think they have. Hey, right now, I think we're going to pause for a break. And stay tuned. You can give us a call, you know, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here locally and 263-6570. We'll be right back after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Now, 2004 was Sutherland Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're going to get bigger in 2005, bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20,000 for your all-new 05 Altima. $15,988, that's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends at $88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt, cruise, factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh Acres, more than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima. $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value. Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
It's 282314 and 281277. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, dock prep, and emission fees.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Let you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will disappear.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive sky-eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Family
fun and adventure in America's great outdoors is calling you to the 20th annual Fort Myers RV Show.
This weekend, Lee Civic Center.
It's the largest RV show in South Florida with over 1,000 URVs on display. Gas and diesel motorhomes, van campers, travel trailers, fifth wheels, camp campers, park models, camping supplies, even financing.
Visit over 90 vendors.
With everything from hard-to-find outdoor camping supplies, RV insurance, RV aftermarket upgrades, and special information on RV resort campgrounds from throughout the nation. Take a lucky spin on our jackpot prize machine to win one of dozens of special prizes and discounts. Who knows? You may even win a new Jeep. Tickets only $7. Half off Thursday.
Children 16 and under, free.
Show hours 10 to 5 Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Sunday 10 to 4, free parking from I-75. Take exit 143 East 5 miles. It's all this weekend at the 20th annual Fort Myers RV Show, Lee Civic Center. Don't miss out.
Sponsored by the Florida RV Trade Association.
Jeep giveaway based on chance. Every giveaway guaranteed. One machine per person. Must be 18 with valid driver's license. No purchase necessary. Ticket entries, rules and regulations. Participating RV dealers.
You've heard the right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
888-602-7500-7501-0203-04. Glad to take your calls. Hear what's on your mind talking about the political situation tonight, or lack of a political situation. I don't know. You know, we were talking before the break about Hannity and some of the crazy stuff they come up with. After that Armstrong-Williams affair, which they so masterfully covered up so quickly, did you notice how quickly that went away? Is Hannity being paid by the neocons to say that kind of stuff? I would have thought that after claiming victory in this past election, the Republicans might have called off the dogs for a little while, but they really haven't. They're going to keep the propaganda war up and running as long as they possibly can. After all, it bears fruit for them. It really does. It's amazing how much fruit it bears, their propaganda wars. They've done a good job of it, far more than we ever have. There's no question about it. That they really outworked us on the propaganda. They're better at it. And of course, they own the media. It really bothers me when I hear them talking about the mainstream media. Anymore, who is the mainstream media? Who is it? I know a lot of people that consider Fox News mainstream media. Really. In fact, all the right-wingers consider Fox News the mainstream media. I don't know. Let's go to the phone. Let's talk to Michael in Fort Myers. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Guy James.
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to let you know some of the reasons why I'm actually a former Democrat.
Okay. Are you a Republican now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Towards that, I did not vote for Bush, and I could not vote for Bush for a number of personal reasons. But part of the reasons why I'm no longer a Democrat is actually related to a statement you made earlier tonight where you talk about where Democrat is the We Party. Well, that's actually a main reason why me and a lot of other people I know don't vote for Democrats. It's because you guys are you're not liberal and you're communitarian, which is just another end of the socialistic spectrum. You're not communist, but you're the other end of the same line. And that's some of the reasons.
I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean we're not the We Party? We're not the We Party?
Well, no, you are the We Party.
Uh-huh.
You at the moment, not everyone, but a good portion is putting forth this agenda that suggests that everybody should be responsible for everybody else except yourself.
And I don't really believe I ever heard anybody say they shouldn't be responsible for themselves. I don't recall that being any part of our platform or any part of the Democratic ideals.
That's the part that's not mentioned.
That's the part, Michael, that just simply is not true. That's not true that the Democrats don't think you ought to work for yourself. Of course you should. When we talk about we talk about helping take care of each other, and we talk about taking care of those who are disadvantaged and don't have the advantages everyone else has. That's what we talk about. We don't talk about...
Yeah, that's true, but that's actually my point, is that we really shouldn't be. Part of the reason why many people are disadvantaged is not because of the situations they're in, but because they live off handouts from us, and as long as we continue to give out handouts, they will not try.
You know, that's the oldest crock in the world right now. Is social programs have been flushed down the drain. Welfare is at an all-time low in modern times. Food stamps are way down. Government programs are way. What are you talking about? Besides the old right-wing mantra, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm actually referring mainly to our foreign policy. We give out so much money.
You're absolutely wrong, Michael. Do you know that amongst developed countries in this world, that you know where the United States stands on foreign aid? Do you know where?
I bet you think
we give away a bigger percentage of our money than anybody else, don't you? You think that, don't you?
Well,
you think we give away?
There's two bits to that. Per capita, I know that our government gives the least. However, I know that most capita in general, and that all of our private donations aren't counted towards that. I honestly think.
Well, hell, Michael, there's 280 of us. 293 million of us. How many Swedes are there? How many Norwegians are there? We're currently 22nd on the developed nations about giving foreign aid. 22nd. Now, we'll give military aid to any dictator that walks down the pike. I mean, we've done that. But you must be talking this libertarian crap that Neil Bortz talks, aren't you? That's what you're into.
Well, I
you must be a libertarian, and you've...
Libertarian.
You,
I am a registered...
I thought so. You know, when I think back in high school of all the guys I knew, usually... Well, I'm not going to go into that, but you've got totally wrong ideas about... You know, you can't back up anything you said. We're 22nd. You want us to...
Right, but that's because it does not include private donations. All the other countries in the world, the private citizens don't give anything because the government doesn't.
Oh, do you want to back that up? Do you want to back that up that the citizens of Norway, Sweden, and Denmark, and France, and Germany don't give anything? Can you back that up? They don't give anything? That's a pretty broad statement. You know what that is? That's a typical libertarian statement is what that is. So typical. You know, you guys that talk like you do and that fool Neil Bortz, they get out and talk like that like America's giving away the farm, and we're not. We most certainly are not.
This is the reason why the Democrats have been losing ground to the Republicans. I can't assign myself, and others I know can't assign themselves to the Republicans. But they're all of the moderate Republicans that are out there. Many of them probably would have been Democrats, you know, 50 years ago, back when the Democrats were
because
actually liberal.
Because they've swallowed the propaganda that you tried to just put forth in this program is true. Because the right-wing media has put that kind of stuff out as truth, you just tried to put it out as truth. You can't back it up, and neither can anybody else. It's simply false. They've done a great job of manipulating people with the media. That's why it looks like... You know, you're still talking about like we got these welfare queens in Chicago. You're still talking like we give away the farm on foreign aid. It's simply not true. It's a fallacy. It's a fallacy. And you can find no facts to back up what you said about the rest of the world, the people, private people, don't give away, don't give anything. It's simply not true. You know, if you're going to listen to Neil Bortz, you better listen to him real careful because he doesn't back anything up with facts. He's a libertarian fool, is exactly what he is, and he can't back up anything he talks about. Thanks for your call, Michael. Nice try, but my God, please. See what I'm talking about, folks, about the manipulation of the media? You see where I'm coming from here on this? We get a guy that listens to this idiot Neil Bortz. And I know he's popular around here. He's got a place down in Naples. Well, whoop-dee-doo. And he's got his little airplane, and he flies down here, and he's got his studio, and he's home, and he's just a hero around here. In fact, I think he does shows from this very seat I'm sitting in when he comes down here, or has. I don't know if he probably does it from his home now, but he has done shows from this very studio. He's a libertarian. He's against giving anybody anything. He's against compassion. He's against sharing. He's against caring. He's against everything. You know, libertarians are probably worse than Republicans because they sit out there and throw stones at both sides and take no real position other than me. You talk about the me people. Whew. There's nobody exemplifies me better than a good old libertarian. You know, and I think... Think back when you went to high school. I'll think back when I went to high school. And you see that nerd sitting over in the corner that's got the pocket protector and, you know, the big thick glasses and the whole thing. That guy, when you think about that back on that right now, that guy is your libertarian. That's usually who it turned out to be. I've talked to a lot of people about that. And that nerd sitting over in the corner is today's libertarian. Need I say more? It's the truth. I have trouble with libertarians. I really do. You see, they don't have any guts. They're able to go out and sit on the fence and throw rocks at both parties. And who did they run for president this year? Who was it? I don't know. Elmer Fudd, Daffy Duck, somebody, some idiot they ran for president. I can't even remember his name, and I'll bet 99% of you can't remember his name either. Why? Because they are a non-factor and will always remain non-factors in American elections. So why would you get involved with a bunch of geeks that had their, they literally had their convention in some states by telephone? They really did. And, you know, I actually know Republicans that don't like libertarians either, but I, in a way, I feel sorry for them. Because they usually are the geeks, and they've got these wild notions that America just gives away everything, and the welfare queens are running rampant with 14 kids and buckets full of food stamps and got Cadillacs sitting out front, new Cadillacs sitting out. I bet you that guy that just called, I bet he's telling stories, has told stories about brand new, going down in the ghettos of Chicago and seeing brand new Cadillacs sitting out in front of welfare Fair Queens homes. They get all that money and they go out and buy that new caddy. And just, you know, that's the kind of thing Ronald Reagan, he fostered that. I know a lot of you think Ronald Reagan was a saint, but believe me, he wasn't. And Ronald Reagan was as much a racist as anybody that ever lived. Because he pushed that notion. He'd go down south and give speeches pushing that welfare queen madness and the false welfare notion. Oh, he did that constantly. He'll say anything to get elected. And I know that'll draw the ire of folks and me talking about St. Ronald Reagan, but it's true. He'd go to Mississippi, give a speech about welfare queens. It worked for him. And it works for those libertarians. You know, they're living in 1957, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe a little after that. Maybe a lot after that. Maybe back in the 60s and early 70s, back when the Great Society came around. And folks, let me be clear about something. When the Great Society came around of Lyndon Johnson's, there is no question that there were excesses on the part of the Democratic Party. And their desire to do good and help people went overboard sometimes. No doubt about it. I'll admit that. I think just about any thinking Democrat will admit that. There were excesses. But we helped eliminate a lot of poverty, and now that is under control. It's under tight control, I think. I think we've done a wonderful job on getting everything squared away there. Let's go to the phone. We've got Arnie in Cape Coral. Hi, Arnie.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't hear you too well, but I'll try. Yeah, it's glad to hear you talking what I like to hear, because, you know, I just tuned in today, and, you know, you remind me somewhat of Chuck Carter. Remember Chuck Carter?
No, sir.
You don't?
No.
No, he had a big program that was supported by people. It was actually for the People Network.
Hmm.
And the thing is, he broadcasted all over U.S. or that stuff. You're on computer, is that right, most of the time?
Well, we broadcast on Wink, WNRG, 1240, 1270 AM, and we also stream the show live all over the world on the Internet.
Oh, that's pretty nice. Yeah, I get sick of just hearing the right-wingers, you know, like Sean Insanity and Lush Rambo and all them other guys. You know, what you've been saying for the past hour is pretty much true. You know, I know what's going on, too. You know, my brother is a Republican, and he told me that that the reason Bush is over there is to keep the oil lines open. And I know you believe that too, right?
Well, not necessarily. I've never believed that the whole thing is for oil. I think there are many reasons they've gone in. I think George Bush went in there, number one, to avenge his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, yes, I do think they want to get absolute control over the region eventually for the oil. I think if we control the entire region, we will control the oil, and whoever controls the oil is going to control the world. It's imperialistic reasons that Bush has got this one in there. Now he's thinking about Iran, too. Well, here we go.
Well, yeah, that's really a mess. When I heard that today, you know, and on the news, I said I knew that it would end up that way.
Well, you know, okay, Iran's next, and then is it Syria?
Right.
But still, when is it going to be Saudi Arabia? Will somebody explain that to me, why we're going after the peons in the oil region, but not Saudi Arabia, who if 70% of the Americans want to blame somebody for 9/11, why it sits right there in Saudi Arabia?
I know it. I don't know what to even think anymore. You know, we're going to be losing more people, more young kids over there. And, you know, he always talks about freeing the people. I mean, what about North Korea?
Yeah, North Korea, exactly. I mean, they've got terrible human rights violation. China has terrible human rights violation. So does many countries around the world. But it just seems odd that the human rights violations just happen to be right where a lot of oil is and have a place where Daddy Bush was involved. And it's just a little odd.
They had a professional on PBS talking about that. He was saying the main reasons to keep the oil lines need to keep, you know, have certain allies away to keep the oil flowing. So, I mean, it's understandable. But he ain't going to admit that, though.
No.
Bush, he ain't going to admit it because they're all professional liars. You know, there's the way I look at it.
Well, we need to clean Washington up of that, and not only the Republicans. There are Democrats that like to stretch the truth as well.
I do understand. I know all politicians have that in them, right? But you know, I'm an independent myself. But what you've been saying is the truth. You know, I've been listening to you, and I kind of weed it out.
Well, Arnie, I'm awfully glad to have you as a new listener.
Okay,
we love to get new listeners, and you call the show anytime.
What's your website now? Is it
www.theguyjamesshow.com?
All right, then.
Don't forget the in there, the Guy James.
Oh, yeah, you got to have all the things.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks for your call, Arnie.
Yeah,
it's always good to have new listeners. And somebody sent me the Republican commandments. And some of them are funny, some of them are right on the money. If thou shalt encounter a sick man, thou shalt never offer him health care. Just pray for him instead. If thou shalt encounter a destitute man, thou shalt never offer him even a tiny fraction of thy wealth. Just say, get a job, and walk away. Thou shalt not question any dictum of the Republican Party, no matter how nonsensical. Thou shalt endlessly repeat and echo every proclamation that thou hearest from any tentacle of the Republican propaganda machine. Let's see, where else are we going in here? Thou shalt believe that the way to teach a nation about democracy, listen up, Iraqis, thou shalt believe that the way to teach a nation about democracy is by first dropping bombs on it and then driving around it with guns pointed at everyone. That seems to work very, very well. Thou shalt mislabel heroic bravery as cowardice, talking about John Kerry, and smirking cowardice as leadership, as Bush and AWOL. Thou shalt mislabel pig-like self-aggrandizing boors as strong role models, Schwarzenegger, and genuine selflessness or caring, Doctors Without Borders, as wimpiness. Thou shalt mislabel dissent as treason. Thou shalt believe that terrorists are the root of terrorism. Thou shalt believe that Walmart is the finest example of American capitalist system at its best, and that blanketing the world with useless plastic trinkets made in China is the ultimate goal of mankind on Earth. Oh, amen, brother. Thou shalt believe that no person has ever died inside a Home Depot store from falling objects. Thou shalt believe that Home Depot is going to someday do something about those boxes way up there near the ceiling. Thou shalt believe that Home Depot gives a damn whether thou lives or dies in that store. That has to do with a story, folks, that how many people have died in Home Depot show stores in the past 2 or 3 years by falling objects. It actually happened. Thou shalt forget all about that silly nonsense about separation of church and state. God said that so last century. Thou shalt vote religiously in both senses. I love these. Thou shalt believe that oil is more scarce, a more scarce commodity than wilderness is. Thou shalt believe that clean water and clean air shall have retail price tags. Oh, aren't we getting there on that one? Thou shalt believe that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is more important than the U.S. trade deficit. Ooh, you know, I hate to even bring that up, trade deficit. I guess Bush hates to bring that up, too. I noticed he didn't bring that up in the speech, the trade deficit. I noticed he didn't bring up the budget deficit in it either. I can't wait until the State of the Union speech coming up. Can you imagine what a humdinger that's going to be? Here we had Bushy Boy the other night telling the world that they're going to democratize every man, woman, and child on earth. Just all step forward to the democracy altar and we'll wave our hands over you and make you democratized. My, oh my, what a grand plan that is. I think it's a grand plan. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Good evening, Guy. I got in late, so I didn't get most of your show, so I hope I'm not covering something that somebody else brought up.
Well, we've mostly been talking about politics tonight.
Well, I'm going to talk politics, too. In terms of the inauguration, if that's what you call it.
Well, I preferred to call it a coronation. That seemed to be what it was.
Well, whichever. I didn't watch too much of it. I watched a lot of the protests.
Yeah, they were interesting.
And what I found interesting, and I thought I'd bring on your show, I don't know if anybody else has discussed it, but there was a call there for a lot of cities to have a protest on March 19th. Did you hear that?
No.
They want to protest the war.
Hmm.
And they named a whole bunch of cities where this is taking place. And then I guess I'm bringing something that nobody else has brought up
today. No, not today, no.
And my question is, if they're going to do this around the country, why shouldn't we do this right here in Fort Myers?
Well, we most certainly should.
And not only that, I want to bring up something else with that. I have brought up something to you before. I want to repeat it again. It is my total 100% belief this is an illegal war because the Constitution of the United States was violated. There was never a declaration of war, which is required by the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8.
Well, John, I've done a little reading on that since you first brought that up on this program, and I happen to believe you're 100% right.
Well, if I'm right, and we're going to democratize, then we should be out in the streets protesting. And I would like to bring something else up, Guy, along with that, if I'm not out of order.
Go ahead, sir.
The president sort of intimated that we might be going into a place called Iran.
Absolutely.
Now, my question to you, my question to the audience, my question to this United States of America, if he is considering that, shouldn't there, if there is going to be any troop movement, be a declaration of war, and shouldn't that be voted on by the Congress of the United States as per the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8?
Absolutely.
And shouldn't we be on the streets demanding, you know, and I don't know if this is conservative or liberal, by the way.
I think it's American, John. I think it's just plain American.
That the Constitution of the United States be observed. That Congress cannot give away its powers and allow one man, the president, to declare war by himself. Because that's what he did.
Absolutely, he did.
And the framers of the Constitution wanted a check and balance so this country would not easily go to war and lose troops.
You're right on.
And I don't get too much of a difficulty from you tonight.
No, you're not going to, because I did do some study on this, and I happen to believe you're right on the money. But John, why are we so lethargic in this country? Why are we sitting back, letting this happen? Where's Paul Revere when we need him?
Where are these so-called conservatives? If you're being conservative, you want good old American values. If you want good old American values, you want our Constitution to be observed.
Have you not seen everybody that's listening to this, the conservatives? Let's talk about Ollie North for a moment. Have you always noticed how Ollie North pulls that copy of the Constitution out of his pocket anytime anybody brings something up? He's the arch conservative, and yet he's violating that every time he speaks positively about this war.
And so does all the other talk show, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh,
yes,
and the like.
Yes, sir.
And my attitude is, and I'm not, I don't think this is a liberal discussion.
No, it's a liberal position. You're right, John. It's an American discussion. It's between two people at the moment, you and I, who happen to care about this this country. Politics be damned.
And my question is, I think we should be on the streets. March 19th seems to be doing it. And I'm saying all of us should, and I will be calling again, I think we should be moving ahead, joining Fort Myers into these other cities protesting, and the basis of the protest should be you have violated the Constitution of the United States.
I have to wonder what would happen if we weren't loaded down with the overwhelming majorities now of Republicans and the powers that be, whether this man would be facing an impeachment. I really have to wonder.
And, you know, considering we're talking future wars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think every American who has a child or a grandchild ought to be concerned.
Well, somebody brought up the point tonight, John, that Newt Gingrich did talk the other day and said we will probably be at war for the next 30 to 70 years.
Undeclared.
Yeah.
Unconstitutional.
Ooh.
You know, I think that the argument has been put in the wrong place. The Constitution of the United States should be observed. And I don't think I'm saying anything radical when I call for this.
No, sir. Not at all.
And I don't think that is being un-American, as you said, is being American. And I think we should be demanding that this president, this Congress, observe the Constitution, that if we're going to war, that all the constitutional niceties and legalities be observed. And where are constitutional lawyers in this community and around the country? Since this, I gather, is going out on the Internet. Why isn't there a lawsuit on this?
Well, there certainly should have been, but
and it still should be.
Everybody's marching to the, the beat of the same drummer on that. Let's just let it go. It'll all work out.
You know, this is how Hitler came to power.
Absolutely.
He did away and he didn't observe the Constitution of Germany. He took power by himself and he said the Constitution be damned. And democracy went out the window, and look at all the things that happened there. And don't think it can't happen here.
Well, exactly. And I forgot. I lost this little thing somebody sent me a while back. I can't think how that goes. But
yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Came,
and I can't repeat it.
Yeah,
either.
And finally they came for me. And there was no one left to stop them. I mean, you know, they came for everybody eventually, and finally, and that's what's happening.
And I think that, again, all those conservatives who are listening should be looking to say we need to observe the Constitution of the United States. If we're fighting for democracy, democracy starts in observing your constitutional law. And we don't go to war at the whim of a president of the United States. I don't care if Congress is financing it. They need to declare war. And I don't think you can find anybody guilty of treason if it's an undeclared war and if the country is not legal.
I agree. You get no argument with me on that.
You know, what I'm saying is I think some very heavy words here, Guy. And, I don't think this is frivolous. And I think people have been taking it lightly. But, you know, this should be a basis of recall and certainly should be a basis of looking at our law and the way we're doing things in this country.
Well, I hope maybe more people will take that tact. I hope more people will take the time to understand what you've just said and accept it for what it is, because it is the truth, and it's a horrible problem we've got here right now. And
I think we can do something about it. If other cities and the call on the TV, and I watched it on C-SPAN too, was to gallivant this country on March 19th with demonstrations, I think that people who are the leaders around here in the Democratic Party and people who care about this country should find out what's going on in the rest of the country, and we should be organizing here.
John, we'll work toward that end over these
And maybe we can use your program to galvanize people, set a time, set a place, and just call this a constitutional rally. Observe the Constitution of the United States. Is that something so terrible?
No, it certainly isn't. I should think we'd have people from all all stripes in a demonstration like that. John, we'll work toward that end. I thank you for your call this evening.
And thank you for the opportunity, and I hope to have the opportunity to raise this again.
Yeah, we'll certainly work on it. We will.
Thank you for the time.
You know, getting down to something Bush said the other night, speaking at the inaugural ball on Tuesday, Bush advised U.S. troops that much more will be asked of you in the months and years ahead. That's a fine statement. That's okay. But a few assumed he was referring to their new jobs as talking heads. According to Editor and Publisher magazine, however, get this, media training for soldiers going into war zone has been stepped up, becoming mandatory for Army troops since October. Military personnel now carrying around talking point cards with phrases like, quote, we are a values-based, people-focused team that strives to uphold the dignity and respect of all, unquote, to be used during chance encounters with embedded journalists. Sig Christensen, president of Military Reporters and Editors, warned the tactic could lead soldiers to misrepresent the situation or even lie. We're going to send soldiers in with talking point cards right now to be something that they want their soldiers to be involved in propaganda now. That's what they want. Well, I do want you to know you're listening to the Guy James Show. We're happy to be here to broadcast this show each week, and we hope you'll return with us next week for another show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merritt. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Production assistant, Liz Laura. Marketing director, Marlene Jones. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listener, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. He's a governor-turned weatherman.
This one looks like a whopper. We've had him before. We're going to have him again, but this one looks like a particularly serious one.
Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts predicting how bad this winter storm will be in his state, and he tells his constituents,
we need people to stay off the roads. This is for their own safety, as well as for the opportunity for our cows to try and keep up with the snowfall.
This woman in Boston wasn't going out, period. She'd already done her snack shopping.
I'm all camped in. I got enough junk to last me a week now.
Could be 2 feet of snow.